RockAuto.com.
Damn the man! Save the empire!
Well, good evening, everyone. It's Wednesday, middle of the week, and here I sit at Unregular Radio. John in his normal position, me in my normal position. Let me look to my left. Nope. Let me look to my right, and then around the table. Oh, who's this? It's not Begley. It's not Doug. It's not Jim. And it sure as shit ain't Charlie. I'm just going to call you Matt. I won't use your last name, because we don't use last names here.
Cool.
You are, unless you want a cool nickname.
Yeah, how about my nickname is Matt Shearer?
All right.
You laugh at that, but my high school girlfriend actually had me in her phone as Matt Shearer, and that's what she referred to me as. I was never just Matt to her, even though I dated her for a year.
Yeah, people use full names sometimes. I understand that. So this is Matt Shearer.
Thank you.
Might know him from the illustrious morning show on Saturdays on a station in town called How Bad Can It Be?
That's right.
Featuring yours truly and Matt. We'll be back again this Saturday. Mm-hmm. So keep an eye on our Twitter accounts, mine is special_ed and the Empire Radio.
You know, not a lot of people knew, but we had John Kerry in the studio this past week.
You've been touting that on your Facebook.
Yes, I have been. Granted, it has been a cardboard cutout, but it's more celebrity guests than I would imagine you've had in this room.
Not for our show, yes. I imagine, didn't you have Onyx in here or something, John?
Oh yeah, we had Onyx in here.
So I would put Onyx above John Kerry.
Sure.
One, because they did a great hit song, and two,
it's
well,
the
they're
real
Onyx.
And it's not a cardboard cutout.
Yeah, and they're black, and I don't want to make them mad.
I can respect that.
I'm a small white man. You know what I was thinking about the other day?
What's that?
I mean, because this whole political thing about everything, about the rich and the poor and the money and where it goes and blah, blah, blah. I realize that one of the reasons, you know, rich white guys are Republican most of the time is because that's what they surround themselves with, more rich white guys.
They're friends. Exactly. It's all about keeping your rich friends rich and keeping your white friends white.
Yeah. And the thing is, I realize is that I'm just as guilty as I've gotten older. When I was a kid, man, my classes and my friends were Asian and black and you name it. You know, no, we didn't have Mexicans then. If I live in my hometown now, there would be. There might have been a Portuguese kid who was more Portuguese than me.
Oh, I can tell you, we had two black kids in my high school.
Well, we had more than that, but I was so diverse. And now that I've gotten older, my friends are so white. And it wasn't by design. I don't want it to be that way. But are there any black people in the building at work?
No. Norm.
Yeah. And then
there's one. We can name one.
The only Hispanics clean the place.
Yeah.
And it's not by design. It's just, I don't know whether it's the industry and the friends I've made that have made me be so cracker-ish and bland.
Well, weirdly enough, studies showed, I think it was, it was like a month ago, a study came out that Massachusetts has some of the most segregated schools in the country. In the country.
This does not surprise me. I lived in Richmond, Virginia for 10 years. And when I moved here, a year into living here, I said, this place is just as racist.
That's bizarre.
If not worse.
But it's like an unspoken racism. It's kind of like you know where you're going to live. You know where you're going to hang out. Oddly enough, the people that you associate yourselves with happen to be of the same race than you. It's not something that you plan here in Massachusetts.
No, I will say that I was the best man for my friend's wedding, and he's half Asian. So that should get me some sort of credit, I imagine. I don't know. Now, John, you got us trumped because being the man who runs on regular radio, you see all walks of life.
Yeah, yeah. So it's pretty diverse here, although we don't have many Asians.
Really?
Yeah, well, I don't know. We just don't. I don't know.
You don't have any math shows?
No.
I live in Alston,
you don't broadcast
so.
The academic decathlon?
Yeah, I'm right near the school, so there's a ton of Asians.
High school. Yeah.
I don't know if you've seen Alston lately, but there's a lot of Asians there.
No, Alston, literally, this is the breakdown of Alston. 50% college students and 50% Asians that come to America thinking Alston is a nice, quiet neighborhood in Boston. That's it.
The thing is, none of those Asians are my friends.
No.
I live in Alston, and I see them, but I don't know any of them.
The best Asian in Alston is the one that takes the cans out of your front lawn.
Oh, I do know that guy.
Yep. He lived next door to my house. It was great because we would walk out with a bag. I mean, let's be honest. We weren't going to go to the Redemption Center for like $2-3 out of a whole bag.
Right.
Like, that's not going to get us
anything. You need 20 cans to make a dollar.
Exactly. We got a nice deal with him, though, because we'd hook him up with the bag of cans, and he'd hook us up with cigarettes. I guess he gets some sort of special import cheap cigarettes. And it worked out for everyone.
From whatever country he's from?
It was a nice little mutual relationship. We could throw loud parties, throw shows
all
night.
So wait a minute,
as loud as we wanted, he didn't care. No, but everyone in my house.
Everybody else did. All right.
Yeah.
So there's also the sidewalk ninja. I don't know what. He could be American Indian, but he wears the.
What is. Oh my God, he has a name too. It's like the Peace Warrior, something like that.
That dude has the roughest hands you'll ever.
Why have you touched his hands, John?
I slapped a five one day. Doing
really?
Like, yeah. I slapped a five and it cut my hands open. It was so bad.
What does he do? And like, he does. Everybody's got a different name for him.
It's like the peace Nazi, the peace ninja,
the peace Nazi. That would be a good one.
He's a peace Nazi. No, did he talk to you when he
eyes? No, he doesn't talk.
He doesn't talk at all. No. I don't know if he's mute or if he just doesn't speak.
I don't know. Because I was wondering that myself because I used Native to work to right Austin. Up the street from there and see him all the time.
He's always in his Karate Kid gear.
He's always. I find him a lot outside the store 24 too, over across the street from the Great Scott. That seems to
that's
be his spot. Hangout.
Yeah, that's his hood. Yeah. That's definitely his hood.
I wonder if he actually sleeps on the sidewalk too, because I see him laying.
He might have one of those spots down the bottom there. You know how they have that little hole down the bottom next to
right. I see him laying down on the side.
I feel like that's a homeless haven down there.
Now, Matt, you've been here for less than 5 minutes, and this is typically how the show goes. I was introducing you, and now we're talking about the high-five Nazi ninja.
I got to say something to the hombre listening on his iPod right now. Your show prep, Ed, is you walk in the studio and eat a bowl that you got at Qdoba. Like, you eat a taco bowl. And it's funny that you go to Qdoba and thinking, like, a bowl is going to make it healthier somehow because of the fact
there's
that it's
no
not
bread.
In a tortilla.
There's no bread.
Oh, yeah, and all that other
crap. With vegetables. I got peppers and onions
and
tomatoes.
Some kind of, and what do you think is in the sauce, too? I mean, it's Qdoba.
Well, dude. It makes me poop, whatever
it's
it is.
It's Qdoba.
I mean, I had Chipotle last night. And the night before, I had Game On, and I got a blackened chicken sandwich. I am destroying my insides. I am going to be shitting blood by the end of the week.
Dude, I came from Boloco. I don't know what it is about Boloco, but you always need to have that cookie. But by the time you're done with your Boloco burrito or wrap or whatever you want to call it, and you're on to the cookie, you instantly realize it's a bad idea second into eating it, but it's so delicious you can't stop. You feel like crap afterwards. There's no good burrito place where you can feel good when you walk out.
Do you feel like Boloco's burritos are too phallic? Because Qdoba's and Chipotle's are more football shaped. They're thicker, they're wider, longer.
Qdoba's I would call more of a brick. That thing is huge.
They're dense.
You look at that thing and you know that that's going to be in you and it's going to be coming out of you.
Well, you could say the same thing about the Boloco ones with their shape because they're
or
they're
anything
just,
phallic.
They're just more. They're narrower and, yeah, and right. They're just. I don't know. Maybe I have a dick obsession, but they're more phallic to me.
I just think they're more well cared for burritos.
See, I think they're a ripoff. They're smaller.
They're a lot smaller. They shape them a lot better. They're more meticulous there. But
oh, you ever get the guy that doesn't care? And like tears your burrito and then folds it. And then when the first time you pick it up, everything falls out.
No, I got a burrito today that the guy was rolling it up in the guacamole just like spread all over the outside of it because he was rolling it. And he just hands it over. And I'm like,
oh, okay,
God. Really?
All right, here we go. This comes from the food. This comes from Game On and from burritos. We'll start with burritos.
Sure.
How do you eat your burrito? Now, I got a bowl, but we got a burrito, right? It comes in the foil.
Right.
Are you one that peels and bites or do you remove it completely from the foil, and I have a follow-up question after you answer. Matt.
Well, I used to be one of the remove completely type of people, but the more when I moved into Austin and I started eating more cheap burritos, I became a wrap the foil thing.
What about you, John?
Yeah, you got to tear. When they're sloppy, you got to tear them, but if it's a well-made one, you can completely pull it out.
Now,
but
I am always a completely take it out. I don't want to be slowed down. I don't want anything getting in my way. It's like I'm going to take the brownie out of its wrapper. It's wrapped in plastic. I'm going to take it at the brownie I'm about to eat right now. I'm going to unwrap it. I'm not going to take a little corner off and be like numb and tear.
Do you really, really suck at eating that much that you worry about biting into the wrapper?
I am focused and I just don't want to be slowed down. Like after I take a bite, oh, I got it. I'm also the same guy that like cuts his steak, takes a bite, and while I'm chewing that, cuts his steak more. So one, the inside stopped cooking. Two, I can just keep eating.
Way more thought into
I'm a little
how
anal.
You cut your steak than
so
I've
this
ever heard.
Leads my follow-up question to the burrito. When you are eating it, do you use both hands, one hand, switch hands? Are you a one hand exclusively, Matt?
I'm a both hands kind of guy. I like to make
so you're two-handing it or are you switching hands?
I don't really notice. The more hands you have on it though, the more likely your burrito is to stay together.
You know? How about you, John?
I go left.
You're a lefty. You're a one-hander.
Yeah, I go.
You don't alternate at all.
No.
Now, why are you keeping your other hand free?
Just in case anything
flops
over.
Do you really want to know, Ed?
If anything over the top flops over. Yeah, I'm in sure glee when I'm doing it. I love burritos.
I love burritos. All right, I'm a one-hander as well, and I'm the same reasons, because I always normally get chips and salsa. So you got to keep it in one hand, and that's another reason why I take the foil off. Boom, burrito's in his hand.
And can't leave that hand.
It ain't leaving until I'm done. Right. And then I'm scooping, and then I'm drinking, and then that other hand is clean for cell phones. And this follows up to the wings thing at
But
game on the other night.
But it's not even an issue what hand is clean if you just do the slow unwrapping thing. Not only that, you get to actually enjoy the burrito bite for bite. And it doesn't take that much time. It's tinfoil. Tinfoil rips easier than paper.
It's time.
Tinfoil.
I don't have that kind of time to waste. Boom.
It's easier than a banana.
Get it out up front. Now, wings. How do you eat your wings? These are some sloppy, juicy, wet buffalo wings. Yeah. Are you a two-hander, a one-hander, or an alternator? Matt.
Absolutely one-hander. Because there I have no choice. There's no wrapper. I can't actually keep the other hand clean unless I eat with one hand.
So you only use one hand?
Yeah, or like one finger on another hand to kind of push it into place.
I just use my mouth for that. How about you, John? One hand or two?
I just go one hand.
You're one hand as well.
Just rip right out.
I thought I was an anomaly because Fletcher, my roommate, can't eat wings with one hand.
He's very dainty.
He's a two-hander. He was like, I just can't do it. I go, just watch. You grab the bone by the end and you just... And the thing comes out clean. If they're good wings, like that meat will just come right off.
Sure.
And that keeps your other hand clean to pick up your glass, especially if you're drinking beer. You don't want to get, you know, fingerprints all over it. Your phone rings. You're good to go. You're like, hey, what's up? I'm eating wings.
Well, you know, it's kind of like shooting a basketball. Like, what the hell is the left hand doing when you shoot a basketball? Nothing. It's just kind of keeping it stable. And it's there for insurance just in case you happen to slip and it falls off of your right hand. It doesn't need to be there, but it's good for the security. That's probably Fletcher's thing.
I'm not good at basketball, but neither is he.
Two hands, like you just ask him for a mountain of napkins.
Right.
Yeah, that's the thing. At least this way. Yeah, and you always eat with your left hand. That way, if somebody comes up, you'll be like, hey, man, what's up? Handshake. It's all about business. It's all about being efficient. See? I got a plan over here, Matt. You gotta think these things through. Take the foil off.
I'm thinking. I mean, I just think you way overthink everything you eat. And that
you could have stopped
it
everything.
It's funny that you try to eat healthy at Qdoba.
I tried to eat as healthy as I could for some fast food.
For your girlfriend.
I could have gone to Wendy's. How about that?
Okay.
Is this a better option than Wendy's as I'm shoveling this brownie into my mouth?
I suppose, although you wouldn't try to justify eating healthy at Wendy's. You know, you can go to Qdoba and I could see, like, you tried to put up an argument. You were like, oh, yeah, no, I get it in the bowl because then it's healthy.
If you went to Wendy's,
there is nobody in the world. Wendy's might as well have the slogan just fuck it. Nobody ever goes to Wendy's because it's a good idea.
Don't they have salads?
Well, no, I'm saying people, like, when they go to Wendy's, it's because there's nothing else. They're just like, fuck it, let's go to Wendy's.
Look,
I'm drinking tea.
Tea's good for you, right? There's black and green tea in
there.
Tea's
got lots of antioxidants, but it's Snapple.
The only options I had Qdoba or Wendy's, so I went with
All right, you work with what you got.
Could be potentially the more healthy of the two. Listen, not all of us are all of 23 years old. Skinny as a rail.
Why are you trying to be healthy?
Because I'm fat. Like, I'm overweight. I could stand to lose 15 pounds. That, and if I get down to 100...
So then how about you don't eat?
I love food.
Well, You're not even fat anyways.
You gotta eat three meals a day. You gotta eat. What happens when you don't eat is your body stores more fat to feed itself later. I'm not a doctor, but I know these things. All right. So the plan is to get down to my fighting
weight. You also know a lot about how to eat burritos. I'll give you
that. I love burritos. I could eat a burrito for every meal. Ugh. Breakfast burritos. In New York, Chipotle's open for breakfast.
What?
Yes.
What do they serve? Breakfast?
And Qdoba's open for breakfast over here.
Yeah, Qdoba up the street is, they have breakfast.
It's amazing.
Yeah.
I got to move. I would have a burrito for every meal. They're really the perfect. Pizza and burritos are the perfect food.
I got to give McDonald's credit where credit is due. They actually make great burritos. You would never know it because it's McDonald's, but they're breakfast burritos. Oh. Have you ever had them?
Yeah.
The things off the dollar menu.
They're fantastic.
Great.
Oh, you've had a few in your day?
Yeah, they're awesome.
Now, see, I'm an Egg McMuffin guy. When I go to McDonald's, it's Egg McMuffins, and that's it. I can't do another breakfast.
Maybe get a biscuit
and an Egg McMuffin if I'm feeling frisky, because I order in twos. I can't have one Egg McMuffin. It's got to be two or an Egg McMuffin and a biscuit, sausage, egg, and cheese biscuit. But Egg McMuffin is the perfect breakfast item. I don't know why they have any other items.
I won't eat anything else off that menu. Just those burritos are the only thing that I like.
Oh, they're great. It's just something about the cheese, you know, it just kind of...
You mean the fake cheese, the orange wax?
Drizzling down your chin. Oh. See, I'm doing the opposite of you, Ed. I'm trying to gain weight here. Like, you act like, oh, it's this great thing that I'm 23 and I can't really gain weight. I'm a skinny guy, but... I am a skinny guy. You don't want to see me with my shirt off, man.
Never.
This pale, wasty dude that went to high school with two black kids. You don't want to see me with my shirt off.
I was in the same boat. I was not as tall as you, but just as skinny. I was super tiny until about 26, then I added a few pounds, then 30 hit, and it's like, brr, oh, you're gross. Jesus. And life's over, so get ready for it. You better prepare yourself.
Well, I'll be enjoying my tortillas on my burritos.
Enjoy it while you can. No. It's funny you mentioned McDonald's, though, by the way. Has anybody enjoyed the McRib since it's been back?
No. I've tried it. It's like a hamburger with barbecue sauce on it.
You've never, this is your first time having it?
No, I've had it before, and it was good.
Oh, it's back.
But it's back, and it's not the same.
Oh, no?
It's not the same.
No.
It's way different.
Tell me.
It's like a hamburger with barbecue sauce on it.
It's not even fake pork anymore?
There's no pork flavor to it at all.
What'd they do?
I don't know what they did. They fucked it all up,
man. Clearly put barbecue sauce on a hamburger, which actually sounds pretty good.
And then some pickles and onions.
That's upsetting.
They've destroyed
it. Matt, have you had the McRib?
No, but I'm telling you.
Do you understand the phenomenon?
A hamburger with barbecue sauce on it does not sound very bad.
Well, you gotta use old cheddar cheese and caramelized onions if you're gonna do that, but yes.
Considering I've never had the original McRib, I probably wouldn't be too disappointed by the new fake McRib, the poser McRib.
I feel sorry for you. Having never had a McRib. Most people don't understand.
I don't know.
Why people are bananas about the McRib. It's because it comes out every once in a while. I don't want to eat 20 of them. I just want to have one and I'll be satiated until the next time it comes out.
Yeah, another 5 years. Yeah. Good, yeah.
Do you remember when McDonald's had hot dogs?
I don't.
One summer, it was like their all-American summer. They were. I mean, hot dogs themselves are disgusting. I love them.
I will not let un-American talk like that happen in this studio.
Dude, I love hot dogs.
All right, well, don't say they're disgusting.
They are disgusting, but
that's like saying you love your wife and then punching her. You either love them or you don't.
No. You can love your wife but say she smells sometimes. You can't. It's like
not
a hot
to her
dog.
Face.
Hot dogs are disgusting.
Oh, they're so good.
They're made with the worst parts of the meat.
They're the best. Other countries, they eat the whole animal. Only in America do we get selective.
You literally have to force yourself when you're eating a hot dog not to think about where it comes from.
I just think about how delicious it is.
Sure.
I've yet to find a really good hot dog in town. You know what?
That's Spikes. One Sullivan's right down. Go down to Castle Island, Sullivan's.
That I've been told, and I've been there, but we didn't get to go. Spikes is good. Too much bread. It's really? a big sub
but
roll.
But it's really good bread.
It is really good bread.
It's like
but
fresh
it's too much.
Italian.
It's too much.
Yeah.
You'll I don't know what to say to that. But
make it a meatball sub then.
What would you eat it if I told you tomorrow from 12 to 4 the one in Austin is giving away free Spikes hot dogs?
Fuck yeah.
Absolutely.
See? Are they really?
Yes, 12 to 4 tomorrow.
I got
to
work. Guess who's going in late?
Take a lunch break. Go in early.
I'm going to drive all the way back to Austin.
Why not?
I'm psyched about that.
Dude, I understand. Spikes.
Has anybody had the chicken and waffles place now that we're talking food?
Yes.
Which one? The Hen House?
Hen House.
Yeah.
Is it? It's like, damn it, I'm missing out.
Yeah. Oh my God, dude. I never thought that having teriyaki chicken on top of waffles with regular classic American maple syrup would be good. For something about the combo. Hey!
Ooh, Begley's
here.
The
most incredible thing you've ever tried.
Why don't you sit right there, pal? Right. You get the steel chair for the WWE match that's happening later.
Have you ever tried the meat over at the Waffle House or the Hen House is what
the
it's
Hen
called,
House, the chicken and waffles joint. Begley, first of all. All right, would you stop wrecking the show by just walking in? First of all, Begley just walked in. He's fresh from the Apple Store. Matt, what you have to understand is he does not leave the compound where he lives, except for weekends to venture out and try to recapture his old flame. And otherwise, he would not know what the Hen House is.
That's right.
The Begley Estate you were talking
about? Yeah, unless we take him, he doesn't go.
Right. I was listening on the way in, though. So I heard you talking about food, which made me very hungry.
Well, I did hear you, actually, this past weekend trying to rekindle that flame. Here's Ed. All right, that was you, too? I'm sorry, Begley.
I was like, what?
That was you, too? Here's the Killers. Can I say the name of the station?
No, we try not to.
All right, I'll call it WTF. Boom. That was it.
It's called a speed break.
I was like,
how is that me trying to rekindle my relationship?
No. He just called. That's what he called. He's trying to relive the good old days by going on the radio.
It's true. Yeah.
Hey, listen, you keep it concise.
Bright and tight. You got to be bright and tight.
You know what? You got a point. When it comes to music on the radio, there's one thing people care about, the music. And you know what?
Did your mom make you a sandwich?
I knew this guy. So speaking of food, What had happened was... Usually I get a slice when I come here from downstairs because they're so tasty.
Sure.
But I had pizza last night and I have this weird thing that I can't have the same thing for dinner like 2 days in a row.
I had burritos today and yesterday.
Same burrito though, like same stuff, same...
Essentially, but one was Chipotle, one was Qdoba.
That's different.
That's not different. It was chicken and onions and peppers, and rice.
And I guess in my case too, because last night was Papa John's and this place is just like a local awesome place.
Oh, well, pizza you could eat any night.
I know, and I love pizza, but...
So you decided to take
plus I was running late.
You wanted a PB&J instead? What is that?
A 24-hour-old PB&J.
Who made it?
Because what happened... I did.
What? Oh, I thought your mom made it for you.
please.
It's in a Ziploc bag.
There's many things I can't do, but PB&J is one of the things I can do. So what happened was last night I did an overnight at the store. So I made my little peanut butter and jelly sandwich. Because
now, what does that mean? Were you putting up new displays?
We were changing every single wall of iPhone cases, iPad, like everything was just fucking changed.
So you're like the guy at Target that stocks the shelves just at Apple.
Yeah, it was a LAN party.
Except I'm awesome and can like image computers and like run circles around like half the people in there.
What about Charlie?
Charlie's, I don't know. What does Charlie do?
I don't know, but he's good at the Apple. No, he's not. He's Rex Mini.
I'm not talking about the employees. I'm talking about like.
I know, but I'm just saying, where are your skills on par with his?
I don't know. You're talking about food.
You guys should have a derailing. He should have a Mac off.
So anyway, so I was going to eat this because I don't take a lunch. We do those overnights. I just eat on the run. And it turned out that my manager ordered 4 Papa John pizzas. So I was like, well, I can't eat my peanut butter and jelly sandwich when there's nice hot cheese here.
No, wait a minute. Wait. Are your initials on there?
Yeah, so people don't take it out of the fridge.
They're not smart enough to know that it's not their peanut butter and jelly sandwich.
This is made by his mom. The initials just so that he doesn't take his dad's sandwich in the
fridge. Please, that is clearly my chicken scratch handwriting with a sharp.
All right, now is it crunchy or smooth?
Well, it's 24 hours old. It's crunchy peanut butter, but I'm afraid it's going to be like solid.
Jif?
No, jelly.
Skippy?
Strawberry jelly.
No, what kind of peanut butter, you dick?
Oh, I don't know, Trader Joe's, like some like.
Jif is not a jelly, it's a peanut butter. Skippy is a peanut butter. You don't even know because your mom buys the brands.
No, I bought this peanut butter at Trader Joe's.
He's a big boy, everybody.
And I bought the jelly.
All honesty, how has the peanut butter and jelly pizza not been invented yet? Seriously.
I'm sure it has somewhere. Somebody's had to have made it. What am I trying to remember that was made that was delicious with fake peanut butter and jelly? It might have been the Pop-Tarts back in the day. But there was a ton of products that came out, peanut butter and jelly. Yeah, and one of them was ridiculously delicious, and I can't remember what it was.
There's those Smucker's things you can buy that don't have the crust.
The Crustables,
kids take the crust off of their sandwiches, so we'll just do it for you.
No, you throw those in the freezer and eat them.
That's what I've heard.
Yeah.
Any kid who didn't eat crust as a child is a retard.
About Dakin at this point. I bet he didn't eat crust as a child.
It's the same thing as the bread. It's not even...
No, it's a different consistency.
I don't like the consistency. Did you eat that?
I ate everything.
Of course.
I love it.
Clearly.
I think I started off not eating the crust, and my mom told me, it's the best part. And in your head, as a kid, you think, oh man, there must be something to this crust thing.
She just didn't want to cut
it. And eat it with the pizza too. You know, don't even get me started on people that don't eat crust on the pizza.
Right here.
Yeah,
Unless I have a dipping sauce.
It depends on the pizza.
It does depend on the pizza. If it's a good crust.
Right.
Listen.
What is a bad crust?
You're
on
wasting
pizza
good space for the rest of the pizza.
Yeah, where's the sauce
and
the cheese?
It's filler.
If you're a real man, you can eat all that pizza.
No, I want more room for cheese. Listen, pizza is the breading is just a delivery vehicle for cheese, for molten crispy cheese.
Yeah, well, there's a piece of grease on. I don't know. It's like eating breadsticks. You like breadsticks, right?
But that's different.
But as far as your stomach is concerned, the crust is just filler. So
yes.
If you eat that, it just fills up, and there's no room for the cheesy hot
goodness.
And
isn't that the point of
it's
eating?
It's like Pizza Hut breadsticks.
Filler.
Pizza Hut breadsticks are delicious because they put that powder on it.
Right.
And I will eat those, and I wouldn't think twice about it.
They do the best breadsticks.
They're amazing. They used to be much better. So did their pan pizza, by the way.
Right.
They changed that a few years ago, and it's shit now. Remember when it used to be buttery and crispy on the bottom?
Yeah.
Oh, damn it. Why? Anyway, I just can't eat crust unless I have ranch with hot sauce in it. And then I'm all about it.
Now, I'm not anti. What I'll do is I'll have 3 or 4 slices, leave the crust. And then if I'm still hungry, I'll you know, snack on it. But I'm not going to completely throw it away and be like,
we throw it to the dogs.
Oh, yeah.
In my house, we just break it up and throw it
to
the dogs.
And then they come over and lick your face. So you're getting the crust anyways, dude.
Yeah. Listen, I am a particular eater. I can't help it. I do eat crust on sandwiches, and I don't even know how we got to this. We were trying to introduce Matt. This is how the show derails. So Matt,
I turned on driving in, and I was like, wow, this is awesome podcast.
Now, Matt, again, I work with him. You are you're a young buck, but you're moving up quickly.
Did you just say young butt or young buck?
Buck.
Because I could be all of the above. Continue.
You are the host of an amazing Saturday show.
Correct. Co-host. Thank you very much.
You're the lead.
For this week.
Wait, you guys are doing that again?
We're doing the next 2 Saturdays.
Oh.
Now, your situation is, when did you graduate school?
Not long ago.
Not long, you went to Emerson.
Yep.
Now, Begley, you went to Curry. Mm-hmm. And when did you graduate school?
Sorry, I was chewing. 2006.
So about 4 years ago.
Uh-huh.
Now, Matt, you live at home with your parents.
I live at home with my parents.
Now, Begley, you live at home with your parents.
It's true. There seems to be a pattern here.
Now, Matt, you have a full-time job in radio.
Mm-hmm.
Begley, you have a part-time job in radio.
Yeah?
But is Apple full-time?
Yeah.
Okay, so you have a full-time job.
Just not in radio. And to my defense, I mean, all three of us know how radio works. Yes. I mean,
you got to know people. You got to be in the right place at the right time.
That full-time job could be gone tomorrow, Matt.
You got to work cheap. Yeah. No, I know how it goes. I was just busting your balls because you both live at home.
You're comparing us like you were comparing Jim and Doug last week.
Yeah, that's what I did last week. Jim and Doug, both the same. They're the same person. They really are. Anybody that listened to last week's show knows they're just 10 years apart. Doug and Jim are angry radio guys who think they jaded, think they deserve more than they have. Yes, they're not willing to work for anything, hence them not being here right now, but they want everything. They're like, no, I'm the best. I deserve it. What, you want me to work a Saturday? Fuck you.
Well, what's just so funny, I think, is the older you get in radio, the better you think you can program the station than the program director. And Doug is totally guilty of that. Like, he loves to come in the room, and while I'm sitting there on my desk and just be like, we need to be doing this on the fucking air. I don't understand why we're doing this and not this.
Should hear what Begley says about the guy that runs his station.
What station?
Nothing but compliments.
Right. Yeah.
What is almost wet your pants a little.
What is Doug? What station do I work at? What's Doug's official role at DKK?
Production.
Yeah, he's a production director.
Creative director, I think, too.
Creative. He's got a pretty nice office. Mm-hmm. I have a fucking cube.
Do you imagine calling... I mean, there are tons of people listening right now that don't work in radio that hear the name creative director. Like, that's a job. Like, it's your job. My job is to be creative.
Yeah, they know it's a bullshit title.
Yeah.
So, we were talking the other day about what you wanted to be, or how you came to be, because your dad is a...
Chemist.
And your mom is a social worker.
Yep.
Now, basically, your dad works for, like, one of the biggest insurance companies in the nation, or in the area.
New England.
And what does your mom do?
Just hangs out right now.
Just pops out kids and hangs out.
Yeah. She used to sell those Longaberger baskets. Have you ever heard of those?
The whose?
Longaberger baskets?
No.
It's like Tupperware. So like you do the home shows and like it's like a you know mom thing.
So she'd go from door to door.
The uncle from Napoleon Dynamite. Continue.
So she'd get plowed by random strangers.
I don't know about that. But she would book parties and there would be like a bunch of hens like sitting around having Pinot Grigio and talking about baskets. And then she did that for like 5 or 6 years. And then just like got burned out by it and was like,
it's a tough business. She got burned out.
Hey, it is.
I've had enough of these baskets.
You gotta travel. She got to be like a director and had like all these people under her and she was like, I'm not doing this.
So you guys come from what seems to be decent families.
Yeah.
Sure.
Now did you always want to be in radio?
From 14 on, yeah.
So you knew that early?
I did. I was very fortunate to be one of the few that had a high school radio station.
Really?
In fact, I got into the whole thing. It was a joke. I wanted to be an architect when I was a kid.
So did I.
I was taking like tech drawing. No way.
And then a technical drawing?
I took tech drawing one in AB.
I got kicked out of high school. But I also discovered that architects needed to know a lot of math, which I hate.
Right.
So I was like, I wanted to be like, what's his name? Billy in Gremlins? Mm-hmm. Or Gremlins 2 is when he's grown up. Remember, he's got the job, and he's like the guy that just does the drawing of what it'll look like, concept. That's the guy I wanted to be. I just want to make a cool-looking building and hand it to some math nerd and go, make this.
Well, honestly, I just wanted to make skateboard ramps. But I ended up working at the high school radio station for the same reason. Me and my friends were sitting around. We saw a little flyer at the school. It said, have your own radio show. We thought, how funny would it be if a bunch of skateboarders had a radio show where they talked like politics?
It was terrible. Joke.
The worst show. I still have tapes. It was called Skate Talk. But see, the funny thing was I was the one on the show trying to take it seriously, and everyone else just wanted to make it into a big joke. So the show went down in flames, but I continued to work there. And then I worked at FNX for a little while interning.
Did you know that, Begley? Did your paths cross?
Yeah, you told me that when I met you the first time, but I couldn't put it together because you were upstairs, right? In the promotions office.
Yes, correct.
Right. But what I was going to say is my high school also was one of the few that had a high school radio station.
Is that right?
And same thing. I was almost the exact same way. Saw the flyers and was like, yes, I want to do this. Got on the waiting list. My high school started at 8th grade. Got on the waiting list in 8th grade. Was on the waiting list all the way up until 12th grade. Never got into the radio station.
Really?
You're kidding.
It was so popular that they were like, okay, whenever a show goes away, but obviously no one got rid of their shows.
And who would have thought that he's the one that actually started working in radio?
Hey, look at me now.
Yeah.
So waiting list the entire time. And then I was like, so after high school, I was already jaded about radio.
You're like, fuck this business.
Fuck this stupid business. Waiting list.
Where did you go to high school?
If radio station's going to have waiting lists, I'm not going to do it.
Where did you go to high school?
Rockland High School, South Shore.
Okay. Okay.
Now, what did little Begley want to be back then before he got the radio bug?
Well, I played basketball for 4 years, so I wanted to be in the NBA.
Begley stands all of 5'7", 5'8"?
5'9".
Come on.
If you read my license.
mine says 5'10", and I'm lying.
You got to add an inch. So I was like, screw, whatever, stupid radio. And then I had all my friends who were in bands and like playing at like the VFW hall and like random places around town. And when I toured colleges... I toured and there was a radio station at Curry and I was like, oh, well, I bet there's a waiting list. And they're like, no, you can have your show like freshman year, like right away. And I was like, really? Sign me up. So then I got like back into it. So
that was what you always wanted to be?
Not from like a little kid. Like
what,
I was
what
never.
What was your dream? What did you want to be when you were a kid? Like Matthew wanted to be an architect. I used Matthew because you were young then.
Yeah.
That's how I
I never really had something like, which kind of goes to say where I am now.
I don't know.
I never really had like a, I want to be an architect or I want to be a policeman. Like I never had one of those. I wanted to be in the NBA.
That was it?
That's what I wanted to do. Yeah. And that worked out so well.
What about you, John? Did you ever imagine that one day you would be, spending your life savings into creating your own radio station?
Yeah, I've always wanted to like get into radio, and I just never wanted to go to school because I just always thought of it as a sham.
Oh, it is a sham. Let me tell you, as I'm paying my bills still.
Yeah, going into radio. I tried before to get like on a street team, and they were like, "Oh, you need to be in school, or you need to go to school for that and be dedicated." And I was like, "Ugh." Yeah, I tried with BCN before when Opie and Anthony were on there.
Oh, really?
So you said, "Screw it! I'm just gonna make my own radio station."
Yeah, I found other ways.
Fuck you guys.
It's America.
Yeah, I have so much respect for you, man. Seriously, you made it happen. I'm not just here to S your D because I'm.
You can actually say it.
Yeah, you can say.
You can say
you
suck
want,
your dick or finger your asshole.
I'm gonna stroke your tender cock. Yeah. I'm not gonna do that.
You know what the problem is? Is when we deviate into things like that because it is internet radio. I get comments on the Facebook page where the people are like, "Oh, can't listen to this in front of the kids. Yeah. Can you guys clean it up a little?" So we do try. I apologize.
Don't send mom this link.
I know my parents listen sometimes. Now, Begley, do your parents know what you do? Like, do they know about, do they listen to this? Do they follow your radio career at all?
Well, I live with them, so my roommates. My roommates know. I call them my roommates. My parents have always been super supportive. Like, even when I moved, like, when I made the move, I mean, to California, my mom.
Yeah, go ahead. Say where it was. Where'd you move?
I moved to Los Angeles. Market 2. Anyway. Yeah, they were super supportive. They were like, yeah, you want to do radio? Like, go for it.
Now, did they follow you maniacally? Did they listen to your stream? Do they listen to you on Sundays? Do they download this podcast?
When I first started doing shifts on FNX, they would listen all the time. And now, that you know, I think over the years, when I started doing Jonesy, like, they would listen online. And I did weekends there, so they would listen online for that, too. But I've been doing it for 6 years now, so I think...
So like, the novelty's
kind of
worn off. Now, if you were to get a morning show or... a feature gig, a full-time gig, they'd probably start up again.
My dad used to listen to, the Sandbox, my dad would listen to that all the time. So, they've always followed my friends.
And yet, he wouldn't give me a job when I needed one. He didn't even return my email.
I don't have a radio station at Safety Insurance.
What about you? Do your parents follow you?
Yeah, well, I had said this. This is kind of like a heartwarming tale. My dad, he wanted to go to Emerson College where I went. He wanted to be an actor. He didn't want to be a chemist. Chemistry was something he did because his dad wanted him to do it. His dad wanted him to go where the money was, you know? And so when I decided I wanted to go to Emerson, I could only imagine the look on his face, because I wasn't looking. I told him I wanted to go to Emerson. I got into Emerson. He was supportive all the way. You know, I mean, he kind of didn't get to follow his dreams because of what his dad wanted him to do, and I did. Mm-hmm. You know? He didn't want to make the same mistakes of his own father, so I respect that.
But I'm sure he still likes what he does, right?
He likes what he does. I mean, he's been doing it ever since. So.
I'm sure he's not complaining about the paychecks either.
Seriously.
There's got to be some decent scratch that comes with being a chemist. It just sounds impressive.
Yeah, he gets to travel a lot. I'll give him that much. The one problem with radio is you never travel, you know? I know so many people that travel for business.
You travel for new jobs.
I'm not one of them.
Yeah, that's the only time you travel.
Yeah, that's the only time you're traveling.
It's nomadic.
No, I always joke about, I'll be on the phone with my dad and be like, so I heard you on the radio today. And he's like all excited and my dad's super nice. And then I always joke that when he hangs up, he's like, my stupid son choosing fucking radio as a career.
Again, I feel like I should apologize to anybody listening or downloading this because we do talk a lot of radio. But it does relate to your general job. Like if you're a doctor, I want to know if your parents want to talk to you about it. Say, hey, did you deliver any babies today? Save any lives? I'm just curious to know how active people's parents are in their relationships and how it got them to where they are.
Or are your parents, are they, I don't want to say pressuring you, but do they want you to follow in their footsteps of what they do? I think a lot of parents don't. They don't want their kids to do what they do. just because they want to see their kids like grow to be something else, I guess.
Something better, maybe. Something bigger.
Yeah.
I don't know. For me, it's like working on radio, you know, it kind of brings the family together a lot because we have something to relate on. You know, maybe your job relates you to your parents. With me, they listen to the show every day, so I get to actually talk to them about it when I get home. You know, we talk about current events and what's going on, and they only know that kind of stuff because of what's going on in the show.
I want both of you separately to walk me through. You just said, it just sprung up in my mind when you said when you get home. Because when you both live with your parents. When you get home, what is that like? I haven't lived at home since 21, and so I moved out, I never came back. And really, I mean, I was living there post high school. I was working in restaurants, and
you would just go to visit. It wasn't
I moved out at 21, but yeah, now I haven't been back to live since for an extended period of time. Whereas you guys have both gone off to school, you've been away. Begley, you moved to LA. Mm-hmm. I don't know if Matt, have you ever moved out?
I lived in Austin for 2 years.
Okay, so you are experiencing the return.
We're boomerang kids.
Yes, that's what they're calling
them.
So what has the relationship changed any? And what is it like when you return home? What are the highs and the lows? And Begley, walk me through this. Because you're better people than I am. Because I would murder my parents. I could not live with them again.
No, my parents are super nice. They always have been. I get home at wacky hours, though. So it's always different. So, like, you know, my dad has to get up super early. So, you know, he's home, goes to bed at like 10. So if I get home anytime after 10, I don't really see him until the next day. And then my mom's home a lot, but she's usually out sometimes during the day. Like, I'll get home in the afternoon. She'll be doing errands. So, like,
I imagine your mom, when she's not out, like, just walking around the house with, like, a glass of wine.
That would be awesome.
Not giving a shit.
A goblin.
Like, yelling at the help.
Yeah.
Like, Carlos, clean that pool.
Clean this. No, so, like, when I do get home and they're there, it's very, like, you know, I mean, they're my parents. Like, we just talk about whatever. You know, how'd your day go? Like, it's not like... I mean, I've always had a really good relationship with my parents, so it's never like we're fighting or pissed at each other. It's always good.
Now, you guys, they don't get mad at you for being there, or there's no tension, there's no argument?
No.
It can't be all sunshine and puppies.
They don't,
like,
they do, so...
Do they drop subtle hints, like...
Well, every once in a while...
Get the fuck out!
Whenever I get, like, a lead on, like, a job, like a radio job, I'll tell them about it, so I'll be like, yeah, so... And they'll be like, well, okay, and then, like, a couple weeks will go by, and you know how it goes, like, it doesn't work, and they're like, so whatever happened? And I was like, well... And then my mom has questioned, like... is there ever going to be like a rate? Like, you've been doing this for 6 years, and I have to try to explain to her. It's hard to explain to people who aren't in it and who aren't like watching me send off the emails every day and like doing all this stuff. Like, they're just seeing it as like I'm doing weekends and that's it. So it's hard to explain.
I don't know what the process is like.
Exactly.
There's so much more to it than just sending a resume, going in for an interview. I mean,
but you have to understand from their head, from their perspective. I wouldn't give a shit. I'd be like, okay, this radio thing's not working out. Go get another job and get out of my house. I mean, I'm just saying that thought could cross their mind.
Well, when I moved back, the plan was I was going to move back, save money, get on my feet, but like get another job in addition to the radio, which is
what you've done.
I did. They just don't.
They don't pay,
they don't
very
pay
well.
Enough.
That Apple, they're really struggling.
I actually said, I'm like, hey, I got a full-time job. I don't know what you want.
They can't really afford to pay their employees right now.
But health benefits. So my mom's big thing was like, you got to get health benefits. You have to.
Yeah.
Because I was on my dad's till I was 26.
Right.
So, and then I became full-time at Apple literally weeks, like 2 weeks after my 26th birthday. So it was like right after. So
you're lucky you didn't get hit by a car.
Yeah. So my mom was kind of at ease once I got the benefits because that was like her big thing. And now, obviously, the next thing is like getting money and moving the hell out of there.
How about you, Matt?
You know,
what brought you back from Alston?
Oh, money, man. I mean,
so were you
live in Alston?
Where were you working?
The problem was I was working part time at the radio stations at Greater Media, the little cluster where we work during the day. I was working part time there, and I was in school full time. So working part time and living in Alston just doesn't add up.
But you were still in school.
Do the math. I was still in school. I was making something happen, but by the time I was done with school, I had no money saved because I spent it all on living in Alston.
Right.
So I moved back home. You know, living with parents now after all that is okay. I mean, they understand I'm much more responsible than I was when I was living there, although my mom still likes to try to get on my case about bills because they get sent to the house and whatever. And she knows I like to let them sit there for a while. And
you should probably
pay those.
And that's
like a nice high school throwback. I'll get to it. The other thing is...
Go paperless.
My mom... Yeah. My mom now has like a little bit of a bigger, and I always say my mom because she's the one that gets on my case about stuff. I'm not so much my dad.
She's a chemist and he's busy making drugs for himself just to get through. He's like, yes.
She's got a little bit bigger window into my love life now, which she loves. But since I haven't had a girlfriend in like 6 months or so, her new thing is that like I'm totally gay. She thinks I'll have my guy friends come over to watch movies. I'll go out skating with my guy friends. Truth is, I've been on dates. I've been dating girls. I just haven't told her about this crap.
That's a total mom.
I mean,
mom.
Yeah, exactly. Though. And when you live at home, as you know, Begley. I mean,
you guys should hang out. Clearly, you know what you should do. You guys should get a studio and live together. Live on the.
Then my mom will think I'm really gay.
Yeah. You're moving in with this fella.
But no, the thing is, you know, when you got to get to a certain point in a relationship with a girl before you can actually bring her to your place when you live at home.
Yeah, it's called at least 3 months of dating, of committed dating.
Yes.
Yeah.
Exactly.
At least 3 months.
So I'm not gonna.
If not six.
And I really don't want to tell my mom about just like girls that I've dated. You know, that's no fun. Yeah.
And by dated, you mean boned.
I mean a lot of things.
Yeah.
Because then when they don't work out, there comes the questions of.
So, okay.
So whatever happened.
Oh, my mom loves that question. My mom's thing was the only time she'd see them was before I took them to dinner for the first time, and that would be the last time she saw them. Now, how do you. You've brought girls over in the past?
Well, yeah, girlfriends.
Girlfriends.
Ever since I've moved home, which was a year ago now.
So when you go on these dates.
I've had two different girlfriends.
You meet the girls out. You say you've gone on a few dates.
Yeah.
So well, you meet them out.
Gone to their place.
Yeah. And so I was going to say, when things go well, you go to their place.
Right.
Now, Begley, what about
to
you?
To their parents' house?
You, when and if.
Every once in a while.
Did you ever bring a non-girlfriend home, just like a random hookup? Because you live on on a compound.
I haven't had random hookups since I've only been back since almost the same amount of time since last August.
Mm. Oh, only been back. Since
a year and a half.
You've only been back a year. Why would you?
Well,
have
I didn't
a few
have
dates?
Besides the one girl that I dated. I didn't have any random hookups to bring back to the house. Even you know,
well, get on it.
Well, my parents were on the Cape for the whole summer. And my sister. So they're gone pretty much for the whole summer. And that was the whole time I dated that girl. So there was never really any time to like bring her home. Like,
right. So what is your sister doing?
My sister is at Curry College, continuing the Begley legacy.
Did she get in as a legacy?
Keep it going strong. Yeah, that's how she got it. I pulled some strings. No, I'm kidding, obviously. I have no juice. So she's at Curry, and she's like a junior, and she wants to be she's an education major.
Now, are they happier with her life decisions or yours?
They're not dissatisfied with my life decision at this point. I mean, I feel like I think they think that I still have time.
There has to be a favorite, though.
My mom always says that the first kid is the easiest, and boys are easier. So just on like a gender basis, like she always says that my sister was harder because she was a girl, and my sister always dated more than I did. Mm-hmm. So she had like in high school she had way more boyfriends than I had,
including one with one arm.
Yeah, it's true, the one arm man. And he played hockey.
I've seen a very sexy one arm girl before. Don't knock the one arm thing.
Could have been the same one.
I went to college with her.
So. Yeah, so she was always kind of like more rebellious than I was.
So you're the favorite.
I wouldn't say favorite because
if they had to pick one of you has to die.
That's awful.
Who gets to live?
I don't know. I would have to ask them.
In your eyes, this is your opinion, and who gets to live?
I would hope me because
but
so
what
I live.
In your heart of hearts, what do you think they would say?
I don't know.
Because I can answer that question easily.
They would probably want us both, if they had to choose.
They would want you both dead?
Yeah, because they because they wouldn't want one to live on.
If my parents were faced with that situation, they would pick me because I am the most likely to have children. I'm most likely to get married and have kids, and they're parents. Parents want grandkids. They want to do all that grandparenty stuff.
But you think that's what they'd say?
Yes, and that's all I asked you. I didn't ask you to delve into their psyche and pull some, you know, I don't know, Minority Report.
I really don't know. I mean, I guess because a firstborn, on the sole reason of so the firstborn child has they've been connected to them longer. So maybe
see,
that.
See,
do you have any siblings,
Matt? I think my mom would pick my sister.
Maybe how old
my
is your sister?
Had a very similar relationship, by the sound of it, to you and your sister. Except I was the one with more girlfriends. She didn't really.
Well, let's
date
set
a
it up.
Lot.
Who is your sister?
My sister. She goes to Northeastern. She's 20 years old.
All right, so she's younger.
She lives. She actually doesn't.
How old are you?
She doesn't live at home now. She lives in the city. I'm 23.
Okay.
So she's 3 year. There's a 3 year gap there. I think they would pick her because she's the exact opposite of me in every way, meaning when those bills come in the mail, she would pay them. She's that kind of responsible girl. She made Dean's List at Northeastern. She studies. She runs marathons. She eats healthy. She's studying business in school. I'm the guy that
is working in radio. I got a full-time job, but not a steady full-time job.
And you play
job.
In a band.
And I play in a
band. That automatically gives you like a couple notches down there, like, oh. So right. Especially if you're doing it when you're 33.
So the chances of having a more fulfilling, successful life would probably be my sister. Although I would say I would have a more personally fulfilling life. Maybe not for grandkids' purposes or grandparent purposes, but, you know, I like my life. I'm a happy guy. I get to do what I want, be creative. I would not feel as happy if I went to business school.
And you're only 23.
And we're studying so hard that I had to make Yeah, exactly. I'm only 23.
Maybe, I don't know.
I got
John,
to get
do,
out
you
of
have,
house.
Do you have brothers and sisters?
Yeah, I got two sisters.
Two sisters. So out of the three of you, only one gets to live.
Oh, that's it's me, no doubt about it. My other two sisters already have like 4 and 5 kids each. They could go.
As long as they got to keep the grandkids?
The kids are still around, you know?
Yeah, would it wipe everybody out?
No, just the sibling.
Okay.
And our siblings have no kids. That's a good... They're like, they popped out kids. They can go. We'll keep John.
That's a good answer.
I like that. And my sister and I are very opposite. And I would say that they might keep me around for entertainment. My sister is smarter than me.
An assassin.
More successful than me. And yes, an assassin. And they might be worried that at some point... they'll have to die if they keep her around because there'll be collateral damage. Somebody will eventually get... Seriously, my sister's an assassin. She says she works for... In advertising.
Did you say she's a lesbian?
No, that's not confirmed.
That's not confirmed, but if it's true, then there's not a very good chance of grandkids coming into the picture.
Well, she's also going to be... Oh, shit. What day is today?
The 3rd.
I got a week. Her birthday's coming up. She's about to be 40.
Wow.
No, they're
has she had
my friends like to speculate because she's almost 40 and single and lives in New York and has gay friends. So yes, everybody's like, she must be a lesbian. I'm like, no, she doesn't like people enough to procreate.
Well, has she had like boyfriends in the past?
I don't know.
Yeah, but that doesn't mean anything.
Yeah, not that I know of.
And she's an assassin. Like, you don't know anything about her.
That's the thing. Yeah, she's an assassin. I know she lives in New York.
She's the CIA.
I kind of know who she works for and kind of know what she says she does. And then I've met a few of her friends. And one of them works with her, and he worked overseas with her when she was in Paris.
I love that conspiracy.
Oh, she went to Paris? Dude, totally
she's
lesbian.
She's totally. Lesbian. I thought you were going to say a
sad. She was going, there was a great Birkenstock store over there, and she drove back in a Subaru on the ferry.
Maybe she's in porn.
She would never drive a Subaru.
Okay.
Never. And she's not in porn, because I watch enough porn to know. I would have come across her by now. Which I'm surprised I haven't come across anybody that I know.
I know. So I was disappointing. I was thinking that one time.
Were you about to ask what I would do if my sister...
If you just came across it.
Now, was I browsing or was I in the midst of... And like she walked into a scene.
I will say I know girls that have become strippers, just not porn.
Right.
Strippers is great because my friend dated this one girl who ended up stripping down the street at the Glass Slipper, as a matter of fact. Oh. We went there as like... Or no, we didn't go there. We'd been talking about going there as revenge.
To see her?
Just to sit there, all of our friends cheering her on, kind of taunting her a little
bit. Throw a couple bucks at her?
Yeah,
that's kind of funny,
I don't know if she still works there, but... last I knew, about a year ago, she was still there. I'm pretty sure her name is Lola.
That's a good...
Is that her stage name?
Pretty sure.
That's a good revenge tactic, actually.
Yeah.
Yeah, throw money at her. That's real good revenge.
No, don't throw money. Go there and just, like, taunt her.
Yeah, no, you'll just get tossed out.
Degrade her.
That's terrible.
You cheer her on. Dude, are you kidding? I don't remember the circumstances. I believe she cheated on my friend. They broke up. He was hurt. Blah, blah, blah. Let's go taunt her. You know, it was that sort of thing.
All right. I mean, I just like to enjoy boobies. I don't go with malice in my mind.
All right. Let's go get a group of our friends to look at her boobs. I don't know. What would you do if you were say times were tough for you? You needed work. You were out of the radio job because that's what happened.
And I'm stripping.
That did happen.
You were stripping and your ex-girlfriend and all her friends showed up. How'd you feel?
What would you do?
I'd probably work it.
Would you work it extra hard or would you not really give them the full show?
There's not much to see. So I don't know. I don't know. It's an interesting question, but I don't think it's not the same. I think it's just mean. That'd be like if you said I was working the counter at Dunk's one morning after being on a morning radio show and somebody I used to work with or dated came in.
Dude, I would be good on stage. If my ex came in, I would give her hell. I know she would be doing it as like revenge, but let me tell you something.
She
would see me up there stripping. I feel like the recent ex wouldn't come to a strip club.
All right, trying to figure out because
couple Begley,
you guys are not only like in your living situations and everything, but you're also pining over some girl that you lost a few months ago.
Right,
it's true.
The two of you, different girl, I hope. But it would be that hilarious.
That would be so weird. It would be
hilarious if it was the same girl.
Could you imagine? Well, I knew that the girl that I've been pining over left me and started talking to this guy on the internet that she met. She,
that very
she
well had, could
she
be had,
like, an That's internet where I met the girl that I dated.
Was it Twitter?
You never know. No, I don't think so.
Does anybody still use...
It's actually Facebook.
How do you meet someone on Facebook?
I know, right? Mutual friends.
Easily. But what do you see? Like a picture and be like, oh, he's cute. I'm going to friend him?
Well, especially in radio. Like you get random people.
But that's different. That's different. This is the girl he was dating.
Well, okay. I got about a month ago a girl that I had never met friended me on Facebook randomly. I thought she was pretty cute. I assume she added me because you know how you know people you may know that section. We had a lot of friends in
friends
common.
Friends in common,
And I thought that's a good place to start. So I messaged her. I was like, hey, do I know you sort of thing? She replied back, no. And we started a conversation from there. That night at 4 a.m., I was at her place. We were making out profusely. And
the same night?
Yeah.
That's so so creepy, though.
And
well, the exact same thing happened to me.
Really?
Well,
no, go ahead.
Well, with this girl. So this was last, like, almost a year ago. So same thing. I just moved back, and I get a friend request on Twitter. And I was like, who? And I see, like, Twitter has the same thing, like common followers or common people you follow. And it was like, FNX, The Sandbox, you. Like, it was all these people that were affiliated
who
with,
you
the radio,
have been following.
With the radio station. I was like, oh, well, she's obviously, like, a listener. Like, so I was I'll accept this. Yeah. And then it became like, you know, so, hey. And then just, like, we're messaging back and forth. And then, like, hey, let's get a drink. So, like, I guess that's two strangers meeting on the internet. Through Twitter.
I just find, I think that's creepy. That like if I had a list of mutual friends, like people you might know or whatever, if it popped up, I wouldn't go, oh, that person knows 90% of the people in my life, but I don't know them. I should friend them. Like that wouldn't cross my mind.
But would see the picture and you would say, but I should know them.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, but I would work it out so it happened in a social setting. Not on the internet.
That's the natural way to do it. And I would never just add some random cute girl that showed up in the people you may know section. But since she added me,
it's okay.
I figure, why not?
Well, I first met her in person at an event. And so it was kind of, we ran into each other by accident. I just recognized her.
And I was like, aren't you that girl from Twitter?
Yeah, exactly.
Which is super creepy.
Which is hilarious. I think I've already told that story on this podcast.
I'm sure. You talk about her all the time.
It's true. I know. I was actually talking to her today. And I was like,
stop it.
I was like, hopefully tonight, none of this will come up.
Stop talking to her.
All right. Well, stop bringing it up on the stupid podcast.
That doesn't have to do with you talking to her. Stop talking to her. Why are you talking to her?
Still friends.
You can't be friends. It doesn't.
I don't know why you think that.
It doesn't work like that. It doesn't work.
It depends.
It doesn't depend. The reason they can't be friends is because he still pines for her.
Oh, okay.
In the back of his mind somewhere, he's hoping that he'll turn it around by being the nice guy. What he needs to do is get some distance, and maybe then she'll come back. But by being there all the time...
Oh, so you're saying he needs to play a game?
No, he needs to move on with his life, because what he is right now is too available. If he wasn't here right now, and she were like, hey, you want to do something? Yes, I do. I can't wait to see you. Talked to you 5 minutes ago. Here I come. You know, he needs
to
be...
But that's exactly what I'm saying.
He needs to be doing other things.
You're telling him to play a game with her.
No.
You're telling him to fake... Oh,
you're
I'm
not
a,
listening.
She texted me. I'm going to wait
Son,
10 minutes to text
Son,
her back, dude.
No, that's not what I'm saying.
It's all about...
What I'm saying him to him is to do other things. That way, when she texts and says, hey, are you doing anything? He can't go, no. He can go, actually... I'm doing a podcast with the boys, and I'll catch you later.
Well, we don't hang out all the time. It's not like we hang out every day. We talk online, and it's hard in 2010 with like Twitter and online. Like it's this stuff that like
nothing makes you sign into those things.
What am I going to do? Not go on Twitter and Facebook?
Heaven forbid! Oh my God!
Listen,
no.
In all honesty, I see where Ed's going with this because if you actually get yourself out there, make yourself do things, like that's the only way to get over a girl. Not be in your house, especially when you live with your parents, dude. I have to go through that. Oh my
God. Yeah, I just imagine you there with a PBR can sitting on the couch with your dad going, she broke my heart, Dad.
Listen, I go out and do
I really blew this one.
I go out and do plenty of things. I hang out with you guys all the time. Like it's not I'm working 7 days a week. It's not 6 days a week. It's not like I'm just sitting at home like drinking. Like I'm out doing stuff.
But we don't go out all the time. Like you come out with us when we go out, but that's once a week.
Yeah.
You're young. You should be out all the time.
Well, I'm working all
ripping it up. Stay at our house. You can stay on the couch. Like hit the town. Do things. Go out with Matt. You guys are like I've made a duo.
It would be like
the two of you need to get out.
It would
and
be
do
like
things.
A bad sitcom.
And
He doesn't drink. Go out and meet girls on Facebook.
He doesn't drink.
Yeah, he's got two laptops. Because
apparently we're good at that.
You've got a designated driver built in. Like,
well, that would be the most, me just getting hammered.
Yeah, you getting hammered and driving back to the compound. Like, you shouldn't be doing that.
I don't do that.
Right. Like, did you hear about the guy who was running for office? I think it was in North Carolina that pulled two DUIs in a weekend.
Really?
He got one Saturday morning and then Sunday morning.
How do you do that? I mean,
he's an idiot, is what he is.
I assume when you get one, you're like, oh my god, like how do you do it?
It's like he immediately got out and was like, well, I'm fucked, and started drinking. He's like, well, I gotta go somewhere.
Was it the same night?
It was basically the next night. Basically, you get what happens is, having been through this, is you get arrested. You're driving your car, it gets impounded. If you can leave it somewhere, or if somebody else is driving it and they can drive, they should have been driving in the first place. But regardless, it gets impounded. You have to pick it up the next morning after you sober up, which is about 8 hours. They didn't let me out till 6 a.m. on the last one. And I'd been sober for a few hours. I actually thought about hanging myself in the cell with my shoelaces. I shit you not. Because it's just the worst thing in the world. So then you got to go to court. You're without your license for a week. And then you got to go to court, and then you lose it for a year, for however long they give it to you. So, but in this guy's window, he got arrested. Well, blew .14 the first time, got arrested, went through the process of sobering up, got out, had no license, because you immediately lose it for a week in most places, if not the day.
Right.
Got back in a car after being drunk again, blew .20.
Without a license.
No license. Yeah, so he's driving on suspended license, this, that, and the other. And I think he resisted the officer in the second.
So now what does he get?
He's jail.
Jail?
He's going. I mean, to get two within a 24-hour period is amazing.
And wait, did you say he got elected?
I don't think he won his election. He was running. I didn't check to follow up and see if he got elected.
.14 is not a lot.
It's twice the legal limit, basically.
Yeah, the legal limit is like one beer.
See, the other thing is, I don't even know I don't know in my head like what's .14.
If you have two beers in an hour, you're over the limit. .08 is the legal limit,
depending on the beers.
It used to just
if you have two Bud Lights,
you're over the limit.
Really?
In an hour, I would not. I would recommend not driving.
So if you had two beers at dinner.
I would recommend not driving.
Really?
Yeah. You might not be over the limit, but you'll be close. Here's what happened. What happened was, the legal limit used to be .15.
Right.
This was established over 40 years ago by scientists, and chemists, probably.
By Matt's dad.
Sure. Right, your dad probably set the legal limit. And then drunk driving became a political issue, Mothers Against Drunk Driving.
Right.
And they became the driving force between getting states to lower the limit in order to get federal funding. So it went from .15, which, I don't know about you, but... I don't think human physiology has changed that much in the past few decades, let alone the past couple hundred years. Evolution's a little slower than that. So they dropped it to .10. Then, a few years after that, they dropped it to .08. So you wouldn't get federal funds. States couldn't get federal highway funds unless they had that as the legal limit.
So doesn't it depend on, though, like, first of all, your size, what you eat, what alcohol it is, like all those factors?
I would say two drinks in an hour, don't drive. A drink an hour... I would say if you take a sip, don't drive. Couple reasons. The technology isn't reliable. They say it is, but think about it. When you blow into a breathalyzer, how many people have blown before you?
But
it's not like they go in and scrub it clean after every one. What's residual? And then what's on your breath versus what's in your blood? Because it's coming out of your lungs. There's so many variables and they haven't released the source code for the machines. I don't trust them. My advice to anybody that gets pulled over and arrested for a DUI.
You can refuse it, can't you?
You refuse and you automatically lose your license. So tell them you want to go. Don't blow if you blow on the street one, it's not bad because it's not permissible in court. So once you get to the real one, the technical one with all the bells
back
and whistles.
At the station?
Back at the station, fall into it.
What do
Just
you mean?
Just fall into it. Just trip and slam your hands on it.
Why? What happens
Fall
then?
Into it. It's a sensitive piece of equipment.
Really?
Yeah. If they make you blow, say, when you get to your attorney, when you get a lawyer, just say, hey, they made me blow, but I accidentally fell into the machine. My shoelace was untied or I tripped.
I was drunk.
And I wish I had thought of that my second time.
They pick up on that trick after a while?
I don't think anybody does it.
Oh, my God. Well, can I tell you?
I didn't realize it until after my second DUI.
Because I have a story where I got pulled over.
You do?
Yeah. So in California, when I was living there with my friends, St. Patrick's Day, 2008, we were driving home, and I was the guy who wasn't going to drink a lot. But
I was not the designated driver.
But honestly, like, I had to work the next day, so I really didn't. Like, we had a friend visiting, so they went out and had good times. I was with them. I had two beers, and maybe I probably had three beers in two or three hours. So we're driving home, And a friend was visiting in town, so we wanted to show him this like awesome sub place by the house. So we show, oh, there it is. And we turn around, go back home. And I turned down, so it was like one-way street, regular street, our street.
Is this going to be a long begging story?
Okay. I'll make it quick. So I turned down the one-way.
Why would you go down the one-way?
Because we were talking, and I was distracted. Like, so I drove, and I'm like, oh, man. So immediately, I go to turn around, cop pulls up right behind me.
Oh, God.
And I was like, uh-oh. It was like 1:30 in the morning. And he comes up to the car, and it's St. Patrick's Day night.
Oh, God.
And he's like, hey. Roll down there. Hey, how are you? And my buddy Kevin was visiting, was in the passenger seat, hammered, just like so. And he's just sitting like straight looking ahead. And the guy's like, cop goes, so how many green beers have you had tonight? And I was like, and the beer wasn't green at the bar. So I was like, none. I answered his question. I was like, none. And he's like, all right. And then my stupid buddy Kevin in the passenger seat pokes his head around, and he goes, excuse me. And the cop's like, and he's like, I had a lot of green beer, and I'm really drunk. Like, he thought in his drunken mind, he thought that was helping the situation.
Yeah. I'm so like, hammered.
Shut up.
I'm the one that's hammered.
Yeah, exactly. And so the minute he started doing that, the cop's like, get out of the car. And I was like,
oh,
so God. So I get out, go to the sidewalk. I had a friend in the backseat too, and they're like looking out the window. And the cop's like, pulls out his pen.
I hate that
thing. And he's like, all right. He's like, just look straight ahead at me. I was like, all right. And he does the thing, like, follow my pen with your eyes. And I do that. And then he does, all right, put your arms out. I did the nose thing. And then he must have, at some point, I don't know when he did, he must have called for backup, because then another cop car pulls up.
Oh.
That guy gets out. And I'm like, luckily it was like a suburban, like, small side street. But that cop gets out. He walks up. He's like, what do we got here? And I was like,
well, I'm outside of my car. What do you think we're doing?
And the cop looks at him and he goes, I don't know. He's like, I've looked in his eyes. I've done that. He goes, here, you take a look. And the guy's like, all right. And we do the same two things. And then he goes, I think he's just spacey. And I was like,
I think he's just weird.
And I didn't know whether to laugh at that or like the cops were like doing bits. And I was like, yeah, I don't know. Like, I wasn't drinking. And he was like, all right. He's like, where do you live? And I was like, literally like the street right there. And he's like, you lying to me? And I was like, no.
You have my license, dumbass.
And he's like, all right, well, get your buddies home safe. And I was like, okay. And so like, I get in the car, and of course, like, he follows me out. I go to the house and I get in the car, and my friends didn't know what happened. They're like, what the fuck happened? And I just put on my seatbelt, and I'm like, let's go home, boys.
You know what the best, way to beat a breathalyzer?
But that was scary, yeah.
Yeah, the best way
to don't drink and drive?
Straight edge.
Yeah,
that's
100% serious.
But my question was going to be, now why is it their discretion whether they want to do the breathalyzer or not?
Like, yes.
So they do all those tricks, and
yes,
and then they say, oh, we should give them the breathalyzer.
Yep. And they have one that they carry with them, a mobile one, but that's not admissible in court because it's not as accurate. They take you to the old timey one that looks like it's from steampunk.
So era. Why would they even use the one in the field?
Just to gauge. Oh, just okay. To
and
really,
if it's way over.
Like, yeah, like if they had been like, I don't know if he's drunk, let's make him blow, and you had blown like a .11, they would have brought you in.
What's the deal with those home breathalyzer things?
I wouldn't use them. I wouldn't trust it. So? The best thing, take it from someone who knows. And I'm not, in retrospect, I'm not proud of it. But I lived in Richmond, and there wasn't any public transportation or taxis. But I was really good at going out, having a good time, and getting home safely. It helped a lot of times to have a station vehicle with logos on the side. Right. The only reason I got the second one was because I ran an orange light because I was being distracted by a passenger.
Whose head was on your lap?
She might have lost the contact. I don't know. She was digging around the car, and I felt like we had to get parked as fast as possible to find the contact.
Right, and you kind of undid the button because there was so much beer in your belly.
No, I was wearing a button shirt, right. And it might have slipped through into my loose pants because I was thinner then, and my pants fit looser, so it could have gone anywhere. Sure. It was very windy in the car when the contact.
So you had
lost.
To take your pants off to
yes.
find out.
Right.
Now here's the big thing. You're saying Richmond doesn't have a lot of public transportation. That's my big problem. Is I can't really go out in the city and have a good time and go home.
Yes, you can.
Uh-huh.
You can come to my house. You always know.
No, I said home.
You have a place
not
in Alston.
Zoo.
You have a place in Alston. Those animals, they keep you
okay,
warm.
Well,
and they're nice to you.
And listen,
and they're snakes.
And there are snakes.
And I totally appreciate that's like, you know, the hospitality. I totally appreciate it. But let's just say that it's a Thursday night and I have to work the next day at 6:45.
We have a shower.
I know, but and then I never sleep right on like the on a couch because I'm in a different place. Like, you know how you just like to be in your own to get. I get a routine.
Yeah, I get it. Yeah. Sometimes every now and then, if the night's going well, if you want to go out and have a good time, it can be fun to crash. But that's if you have nowhere to be the next day.
But you're young. You should be able to crash anywhere and get up and go.
That's just not. Maybe you can, but that's just not
anymore.
I can do it on the weekends, like you just said. If I have nothing to do on Saturday, I can.
And it's all about having your own shower too, right? Before you go to work.
Yeah, routine. Because I have the routine of what I do before work. Like that's just what on a Saturday it doesn't matter because I can just do whatever.
You're too young to have a routine.
But the other thing is, if I lived in the city, if I had my own apartment in the city, it would be different because then I could take cabs and trains.
Well, here's the thing. What you should be thinking towards is going out in the city, having a good time, and going home with someone else, and just having my place
every time,
having my place as a backup. So, I struck out tonight, couch. Oh, I struck out tonight. Couch. Oh, I'm going to this girl's place. I won't have to see those assholes at all.
Yeah.
That's how you should be thinking.
And I also thought about going out. I'm like, well, I should just go out near my house. But
what
then
you go to Applebee's?
Well, no, there's actually a really cool bar down the, like 4 minutes from my house called
You don't have a boat.
And there's everything's like except for with the exception of that bar, it's like 4 minutes away. Everything's just spread out and far. So even if you get a cab, it's like, you know, $25. So I gotta just get a job where it pays me more and move into the city
and get your own place. Well, just yeah. I will say to anyone, it's as much fun as it was. No, drinking and driving is a terrible.
Yeah,
terrible
thing. You always tell me that, and you're right.
As good as I was at it, and I would challenge anyone to this day if we could get a closed course and you could pump me full of beers. Oh, John's hearing on
pretty,
that.
I'm pretty good at. I don't do it. I don't drink anymore. So I don't do it by default, but
you know what I've always wanted to do? Get the cheapest car you can get on Craigslist. Like, get a bunch of friends together and just pool like a couple $100. Get some cheap scrap throwaway cars that say good for parts because they have no transmission or something. Take them out into a parking lot and play bumper cars.
Just smash them up.
Wouldn't that be so fun? Yeah. Just have a little Craigslist demolition derby. I mean, you might have to save up a little bit. Have a bake sale.
Why don't you guys save for your own apartments rather than a demolition derby?
Demolition derbies.
I came back from Dover one night, University of New Hampshire. It was rough, but I'd got back.
Yeah, I think the worst one I did was from Washington, D.C. to the suburb I lived in Virginia.
How far was that?
It was a good almost hour. I'd had fun at the Caps game.
Plenty
I wasn't
of time for you to sober up, though.
Well, I hit a deer.
Oh, did you?
That must have been scary.
Actually, you got to call the cops when you do
that.
Well,
no, the deer hit me, and luckily,
right.
Here, I was driving along in my 89 Honda Civic, and here's the thing, my mom is my insurance agent at the time, which is the worst thing about all of this, because she knew about my record, but I was cruising along.
It's like my dad.
And I wasn't hammered. I had some beers, and I was probably over the legal limit, but you know, I felt okay to drive. So I'm driving, and this deer jumps out, jumps back, spins around, and when it turns to run away, it kicks out its ass or its legs, and it hits my side view mirror. That's the only thing it hit on my car. Now, mind you, my window's down. So where does the side view mirror go? Into my lap, along with glass down my sleeve. I'm in a Caps jersey. I'm bleeding.
You must have been freaking out.
Freaked the fuck out. And it's like 2 in the morning.
Now, when was
you trashed?
I wasn't trashed, but I'd had enough to probably be in trouble.
When was this in relation to the other two DUIs that you've had?
I guess I was in restaurants, so it was after the first one, but before the second one, because there was like a 10-year span.
Yeah.
There was actually, 11-year span. And the first one doesn't count. I was underage. That's what I always say. I wouldn't have got it if I was an adult.
Well, you shouldn't have been drinking anyway.
I shouldn't have been doing donuts in the Walmart parking lot is the moral of that story. Listen, I'm not smart. I make a lot of mistakes.
Clearly.
But I had to call my mom. At that time, I'm like, well, I just hit a deer. The side view mirrors are my thing. Do I need to do anything? And she's like, no, just get home. I was like, oh, all right. And you're talking about getting sobered up quick. It's having a deer kick your side view mirror
off.
That
happens,
But you just left the deer.
No, it ran off.
Oh, okay.
It wasn't hurt. Those things are made of steel. Deers are assholes. They do it just to scare the fuck out of you.
And in the backwoods of stupid Norwell, like every time I drive home at night, I see one. I would say, so 7 days in a row, when I drive home after dark, I would say 6.5 of them, I see a deer.
Well, you know what's funny? There's one spot in Acton on my way in, because I drive to work, obviously, at like 4 or 5 in the... No,
I don't
sorry,
miss that.
4 in the morning. Yeah, no. There's one spot where I see deer every time. So I've gotten in this habit of now I honk every time I go there. And there's a house right there.
I'm sure they love
sure.
that.
Yeah, they hate it.
The
house
but like, you're going to drive by one morning, away. And you're just going to get pelted with either shotguns or paintball guns.
Or there's going to be a cop waiting for the guy that drives by to honk his horn.
I drove home the other night, and I saw two deer. A coyote and two raccoons. And I was like, where do I live?
Yeah,
like,
you say I live in a zoo.
Well, I'm more like in the woods as opposed to in my house. They're not in my walls.
No, you just see different animals in Alston. You see abandoned cats from the hipsters that think it's a great idea to have a cat when you live in Alston.
Rats.
And leave it behind. You see lots of rats.
Snakes.
Sometimes
only
snakes.
Your ceiling snake is watching you masturbate.
Snakes, rats, dogs.
It's I will say in Alston, it's an interesting place. But you know, I like living in the city. Having come from Richmond, where there was no public transit,
I would consider
I like it.
I would consider the hipsters wildlife too, because they're always
unwashed
in the,
and hairy.
In the streets. Yeah, they've got rat tails.
Oh, I honk at all of them. You know, that's who I honk at when they're walking on the red hand.
Oh yeah, you hate that.
Oh, leaning on the horn, rolling down the windows, screaming at them. The cyclists too.
But at the same time, when you're like walking down the street and you got to cross the street. You kind of hate the drivers.
You wait for the white man.
You either wait for the white man or you
wait
don't.
For the white man.
I don't. Oh, no. If there's a car coming, I don't step in front of it. No.
Well, Ed would honk at you.
Well, if there's a car coming, of course not.
Well, but that's what they do. They just keep walking. They don't even pause at the corner.
There's proper street crossing etiquette, and it is you walk down the sidewalk until there's no cars coming at all. The whole time you're walking, and you know you got to get to the other side, and you keep looking over
your
shoulder.
Heads on a swivel. It's like looking for a cab.
You don't even have to stop. You just cross the street. That's the way it's done.
Some girl was doing that this morning on the way in, and I think she shook her fist at me. She was doing the...
Oh, my God.
She was doing the walking next to the cars, not on the sidewalk, next to the cars, and was going to drift over to cross the street. But when she decided to start to drift, I was almost on top of her.
Oh,
like, she had made no indication that she even wanted to cross the street.
Right.
And then she was like, brr. I was like, look, fat ass. Maybe if you were walking at an angle, I would know you'd want it, but you were walking straight, and then you decided to bolt.
See, I hate that. But the thing I hate more than that is walking with people that have to use the crosswalk. The people that don't cross unless there's a crosswalk. Are you telling me you're one of those people?
No.
In Santa Monica in California, they ticket people all day for jaywalking.
I will say they need that in Alston.
It is nuts. Yeah, they actually do.
They need it in downtown Boston.
My buddy Max, who I worked for at the radio station out there, got a ticket for jaywalk. The cop pulled up behind him on a bike, a bike cop.
What did he have a little bell? Like,
no, he pulled up next to him and he was like,
hey.
And Max looked at him and he was like, do I pull over? Like, what? Was I speeding, officer? And the guy was like, and that didn't help his case. And the guy wrote him like a $40 ticket.
I would be like, I don't have ID, brother. I'd walk away.
Yeah. But they're so adamant about it.
It's kind of like marijuana laws here in Massachusetts. Apparently, you don't have to give your ID. You don't have to say
your name.
So they can't write the ticket.
All these loopholes. And I bet you if you can get away with marijuana here in Massachusetts, you can get away with jaywalking.
Well, it's a $1 fine for jaywalking.
Here?
Yeah.
$1? It's a $1 fine. They've never changed.
Oh, so that's why they don't give any.
That's why they don't enforce it.
Well, then they should up it and enforce it.
Yeah.
Here's the thing. I would rather have the cops enforcing jaywalking, enforcing parking, making sure people aren't breaking into homes, shit like that, than having them sit at a sobriety checkpoint and stopping all the innocent people. How many times have you been stopped?
At a sobriety checkpoint?
Yeah.
I got pulled over once. I had to go through all those sobriety checks that Begley was just describing with the
And how
nose.
Did you feel about that?
Oh, I was pissed.
Right, because you've never had a drink in your life. Have you ever had a drink?
Nope.
Never had a drink in your life, and yet you have to stop at one of these things.
Yeah, in fact, that's kind of why I got pulled over, because the cop was giving me lip, acting like I was just some teenager. Okay, the story is this, and I'll tell it really brief. I was pulling up to the sobriety checkpoint. Cop was standing there on the side, and I guess I pulled up a little bit farther than he wanted. And he's like, whoa. Yeah. How many of you had to drink tonight? And I was like,
never.
Actually, none. And
yeah, your answer should have been never. Life.
And I'm saying shit like that, and he's just like, who the hell do you think you are? And I'm like, I'm just a guy that's got to get home. He goes, well, I'm a state trooper.
Oh, state troopers.
And I was like,
give me the badge.
I was like, what does that even mean? Can you just let me go? I've never had a drink in my life. I have a tattoo to prove it. And he's just like, pull this guy over. So I got pulled over, and the cop made me do all those tests, and he's like, why are you being such a dick?
Did you say that?
I was like, no, that's what he said
to
me.
He said it?
He said that to me. He was like, he saw that I was sober. He was like, say the ABCs, okay. Why are you being such a dick? And I was like,
well, you should have said, because basically you're infringing on my rights by illegally stopping me for no reason.
And justifying it by saying, I'm a state trooper.
Yeah, that's my problem that's my biggest problem. Finally moved it down to 0.08.
Yeah.
Well, no, just with the drunk driving laws and everything. Those stops should be illegal, but it's like taking your license away. They ride it into by taking this license. It's like video game licenses. You don't even read the agreement. You just check yes and say, I accept.
Yeah.
Right.
And I went through that on a smaller level in college because I didn't drink until I was 21. Uh-huh. So in college, you know, big parties and like there were all, and so, you know, it obviously wasn't the real cops, but like the stupid public safety officers would show up and they'd be like, all right, everyone give us your IDs and we'd all get, you know, whatever they did to punish us or whatever. And I used to think it was bullshit because I'm like, Give me a breathalyzer. I haven't been drinking. I've never had a drink. I'm not 21. And they're like, oh yeah, right. Like all you stupid kids are drinking. And the kids in the room were, but I'm like, I wasn't drinking. Like, give me a breathalyzer.
And the thing is, you're powerless. You know,
you absolutely
there's nothing you can do
because they just believe that everybody is drinking.
I want you to think about if they came to your house and said, well, you know, we're gonna have to run you through some tests because we got to make sure you didn't kill anybody, make sure you didn't steal anything. Yeah, you know, why does it apply to drinking and driving? They're pulling over basically people who are innocent. You're right. Supposed to be presumed innocent. There's no reason to stop you. They have no cause, no nothing. It's just a checkpoint. Checkpoint should be illegal. Unless they're border checkpoints.
That is a really good point, but I bet you that
you should do some reading on it. It will infuriate you, especially I want you to read it because you don't drink. And
because I've been pulled over. Yeah.
Right. I'm a drinker and I feel like you know how to find the drinkers. Like, you can be in the area. Yeah. You know who the problem was. The problems are the people who were repeat offenders. And they normally make it easy to find them. Because they put, and I'm not, because mine were 10 years apart. My second one was charged as a first. So don't even look at me like a repeat offender. But they eventually put their car into a tree. They eventually end up passed out behind the wheel somewhere. When they have two or three, those are who you're trying to nab. But they know where the checkpoints are. So you're not nabbing them. You're nabbing some poor teacher who went to an after-school meeting with her friends and had a glass of Chardonnay, and because you can still smell it on her because she just left, you're going to harass her and make her go through all these tests, even though she's 0.02 because she just had one glass, but it might be fresh on her breath. Some fucking statey who's got a stick up his ass and thinks he's a badass puts her through all this, and people are just willing, especially since the Patriot Act and all that, they're willing to put up their rights. But they're like, oh no, we're giving up our rights, but we're going to be safer. Think about the airport. Those searches are the same thing, and I want everybody to know that they're not allowed to conduct searches beyond searches. Like, if they can't look for something in your bag. They can't say, you know, oh, we found this, so we did this, this, and this. They can't, I think they can't further a criminal investigation if it's not related to. Right. So basically, all they can do is look for explosives. They can't ask you questions about why you have certain things in your bag.
When I first met you, I didn't believe that you were libertarian, as you claim. Now I believe it.
Oh, fucking A, dude. I innocent until proven guilty, presumed innocent. You shouldn't just look at me and say, well, that guy looks like trouble. And, you know, you just went through the same thing. Never had a drink in your life and had to stop. No reason. You will never, ever be convicted of a DUI if you continue living the way you do. But how many more times will you be stopped? Yeah, and is that for the greater good? Is that helping anything? No, it's a waste of tax dollars.
Now, why is it? Like, there's got to be a reason. So there's got to be something that passed that.
Why do they do it?
That says they can do it.
Money.
Mothers against drunk driving.
And mothers against. It's like anything else. Lobbying and money. Do you know how much money they probably make off of DUIs? Shit ton.
Oh, and no, and it's the easiest way to nab people.
Yeah.
Cops don't even have to go out and actually do their job. They don't have to patrol the streets like they're supposed to. The criminals come to them.
Yep.
Now, they must do them they don't do them in the same spots, though. They do them in like random.
But so listen, a good drunk driver will know how to get around them. They'll see it coming and they'll be like, well, I'll just pull over here in the shopping center and walk home. Like, you won't.
And apparently, we have two good drunk drivers in the room.
Exactly what you would do.
Yeah.
How would you see it coming? Don't they just sit on the side of the road?
No, you could, because there's already cars pulled over. Unless you're the first one through it, you're going to see it. And you don't give a shit. You'd rather have your car towed. A serious drunk driver would pull their car over a half mile back, leave it on the side of the road, put a yellow shirt or a white shirt in the thing, and let it get towed. $60 for towing is cheaper than a couple $1,000 for an attorney and all the fines.
Yeah.
Sure. And that's the thing. It's the same thing with speeding tickets. Why are stateies sitting on the road? The myth about speeding is that it's dangerous. You know what's dangerous? Reckless driving. Speeding, if you're going with the flow of traffic, not dangerous. If everybody's doing 10 over the speed limit, we're pretty much fine. It's the weavers that do it, and that's what they should be using aerial for. They should be able to spot them, or even if they're on the roads or getting reports. You go after the asshole that drives like he's Mario Andretti in and out.
Oh, and you know who drives faster than anyone else on the road?
Stateies.
The cops. Oh. Stateies.
When they blow past me, I honk my horn.
I love when I'm in the passing lane, and they'll pull up and get right on my tail, and they'll be tailgating me, and I'll get over a lane because, it's a statey, and then they just fly by. No lights on.
No, but they'll tell tell you
just
they were on a call.
Just because they have places to be.
They'll tell you they were on a call. If you challenged it, if for whatever reason they rear-ended you, and that's why it's nice to drive a stick. You kind of downshift. You'd be like, oh, something flew in front of me. But if they were to rear-end you, they would say, well, they were on a call. You're like, well, your lights weren't on. You're like, they'd tell you it was a silent call. Mm-hmm. And that's the other thing. And this is not to say that all cops are bad. I think it takes a lot of balls to take the job and to protect people. But at the same time, there are those out there that abuse their power.
And I agree. And I think go ahead.
If you take the badge, you take with it the responsibility. Right. And that means you don't plow down the highway at 90 miles an hour unless you're on a call.
And I think the only way that we can really make sure they're doing their job, that job that you just described, is to videotape them, take pictures of them, and you know what? That's illegal.
Oh, don't even get me started on that. Of course. Taking pictures, not illegal.
Cops can get away with anything.
We talked about this last night, actually.
Videotaping is illegal only if there's audio.
No, yeah, only if there's audio. There's a guy that's coming out with a device that mounts onto your rearview mirror. And it looks just like a rearview mirror. It's got cameras in it. And then there's two other cameras that mount into your car. And they're made for traffic stops. They automatically upload online. So it's not a videotape inside of there.
Oh, that's great.
My phone has one of the camera things I use will automatically upload online. Automatically. So you're streaming it live, basically.
Wait, streaming, and it saves streaming went like from outside of your car?
With my phone. So I use the camera on my phone. Like, I could be live streaming this right now.
Right.
Yeah, but it also saves
it. What would you do in the car? You would just
Well, if I got pulled over, I could set this up
while the cops
and have them. But the thing is, what they try to get you on is the wiretapping charge, and that's where the audio comes in.
Gotcha.
So if you're being verbally abused, you can't get that. But
can I even just say what's so bad about wiretapping?
That's
what
just the law.
What is so bad about wiretapping? A cop.
Well, the thing is, it's to serve and protect, not to intimidate and harass. And right. I think that's what's being forgotten. But there's money to be made in traffic tickets. That's why people get pulled over. Mm-hmm. There's money made in DUI stops. That's why people get pulled over. There's no money to be made in jaywalking. They're dollar tickets. So there's no money to be made stopping someone for littering.
Yeah.
What used to happen was, and you hear old people talk all the time, in their day, an officer was on the corner, knew everybody in town, and if something went wrong, people trusted them. And now you see they're dressed like SWAT teams, kicking in doors of the wrong place sometimes, shooting kids in the head. Like, there are terrible stories about dogs getting shot because the little dog was going to attack. Like, every time I read one of those stories, I want to scream.
Dude, I was down in D.C. Over the weekend, and I had gone up to, like, one of these little booths to, like, ask the security guard a question of, like, where one street was. And I walked over there, and she starts screaming at me, "Back up, back up, back up." And I'm like, whoa. This dude comes flying out around the corner, and I'm like, I just was asking some directions. That's all I wanted. I had no reason.
God.
And 9/11, I hate to bring it up, but had a ton to do with it. And the Patriot Act had a ton to do with it. And the TSA is just another example of it. And you should read up on your rights. You should know, especially now with the invasive scanners going on at the airport. I don't know how much you guys pick up on this. Or keep up.
That's
on
the one
this.
That sees below your clothes.
Yeah, it sees below your clothes, and you can see your dong if they want. Like, they see an outline of it. It's not supposed to keep pictures or record of it. Found out that it does.
But they do. Yeah, and that was proved in India with that one celebrity. Pictures started circulating on the internet of him naked.
And when you refuse it, you get into a more invasive physical search.
Yep.
Where they basically stick a thumb up your ass.
Oh, and
is that making you safer? You know what made us safer post 9/11?
What's that?
Locking the cockpit doors. That you know sure. what's going to keep.
Why don't they do that?
You know what's going to keep another terrorist from flying a plane into a building? Not getting into the cockpit.
Exactly.
There were stories about pilots, and one of them was complaining about these new scanners and because he refused it, and they wanted to put him through the whole squeezy, squeezy, pat down, pokey, pokey, and he refused, so he couldn't go to the work that day. And another story came out where he's talking about how what's happened with security in his time. He couldn't bring his nail clippers on, but for fear that he could use it as a weapon. Now, mind you, he's locked in the cockpit. So if he had to kill anyone, he'd have to kill his co-pilot. He looks at the TSA, he goes, "You realize that if I needed to kill my co-pilot, there's a fire axe behind me. I don't need to smuggle in nail clippers to kill him. I'm locked in this small room with him, and there's an axe right here." But it's this illusion of security. And I'll tell you, the election shows you, the rest of the country, how quick they are to cower and be like, "Oh, make us safe. We'll give up." They talk about rights and taxes, but they have no idea what they've given up in the past 10 years because of especially a lot of Bush and Cheney's policies.
Now, also real quick on the airport stuff. So if you walk in with a water bottle, you try to get through security, they're like, "Oh, nope, you're going to throw that away." Now, let's just say that, you know, hypothetically, I had an explosive in this water bottle. And isn't that the reason why they make you throw it away? Because liquid, gel, you
know. Sure.
Right.
So I take the bottle. I've heard this point made before. That's why I'm bringing it up. So I take it. All right. Sorry. Throw it in the trash barrel. I still have, you know, whatever detonator I use, my cell phone or whatever. Get on the plane. Once I'm in the air, pop, blow up the whole airport.
Yep. Absolutely.
And I want a clean getaway in the plane. But they don't check the trash. They just tell you to throw it away.
You could pull up to Logan right now with a car full of explosives. And I hope this doesn't put us on some FBI watch list. But you could. You could pull up to Terminal B in the drop-off area and set off a pretty good explosive and kill a couple people, if not a couple hundred.
Right.
Especially if it was at a busy time.
Look, anything could happen. The miles of railway track that we have, not all of it's monitored. You could go set up a small device and derail a train.
If somebody
There's so many things you can do. It's just a matter of... We got to stop being so scared about everything.
Do you remember
giving
what
up everything?
Al-Qaeda and Bin Laden said when they were doing this whole thing? They wanted to change the way we live, and they wanted to bankrupt us.
Yeah.
What's happening right now? Bankrupted on two wars... And changing the way we live by going through the... You used to be able to just get on a fucking plane.
Well, there was an Al-Qaeda initiative not long ago to put suspicious packages in random places in various cities. And so far, they've done that.
They found kittens.
Yeah, they found kids. And it's working. I mean, I'm not going to say that whatever it was that came in from Yemen last week wasn't anything. I believe it actually was a bomb. But there have been people putting suspicious packages in New York City and in Boston. They've put stuff on the
recently?
T. I mean, you don't really hear a whole lot about it because what they'll do is they'll just, you know, send someone down and real quick deem that it's not a suspicious package.
It's beef of vendetta. The thing is, if somebody wants to do something, they're going to do something.
Yeah. We're living in fear is my point.
Yeah,
and
you can't.
I have to go.
What?
I know. It's past my bedtime.
Oh, yeah, morning show guy. That's all right. We can wrap up.
I've been going nonstop today since 2 a.m.
Why?
2 a.m.?
Why do you get up at 2?
Oh, I want to see the election results.
We're still going to be there at 4. You realize that.
It took me a long time to read through all the ones that I really wanted to see.
No, the only one I cared about was Perry and O'Donnell. They lost.
Tax on booze.
Well, yeah.
Well, I was bummed. That was the only thing that I was bummed about this morning, actually.
It's a tax you'll never pay.
Right, exactly. Anyways, hey,
Matt,
guys.
Thank you. I'll see you tomorrow.
It's been an absolute pleasure. Ed, thank you so much for bringing me into the game.
Don't forget, Saturday. Randall,
This is your thing, too, man. Thank you so much. And, John, it was an awesome to meet you. Unregular Radio, this is sick.
Thanks,
this
man.
Is really sick. You've done something real cool here.
I appreciate it.
I'll see you tomorrow and Saturday. We're on 96.9, 8 to 10 a.m.
Oh, yeah.
That's right.
How bad can it be?
Tune in.
More great discussions about DUIs while getting hit.
Less swearing, though.
I love that name, by the way. How bad could it be?
All right, guys.
Later, Matt.
See you, dude. I guess we'll wrap up after you as well. We might wrap up a little earlier. We'll do 8:30. Is that okay with you, John?
Yeah.
We'll do a few more minutes with me and Begley.
Before we do that, can you just tell me what that laptop right there is doing? It looks like it's from 1982.
Oh, it's from a police car.
It's from what?
It's from a police car.
Oh, from a police car?
Yeah, it's like waterproof and shockproof.
What?
Yeah.
What? Do you know what year it's from?
Oh, I have no idea.
Well, let's see what the processor is.
It runs a fairly...
It still runs?
Yeah, it runs a fairly decent version of Linux and it goes on the internet and stuff.
It's a Centrio. So that's at least 5 years old, right?
That's wacky.
Yeah,
that's
awesome. If not more. 8?
Yeah, probably more like
Listen, they were meant to take a bullet because when they're harassing kids that don't drink for drunk driving, you got
to
have a good laptop.
And I'm glad
that kid might have a gun.
And I'm glad you all can see this laptop.
I don't know why we went all political, but it gets me upset, and I'm almost offended that he didn't think I was a real libertarian. In that, my whole philosophy is, and I hate to steal a line from Bad Religion: do what you want, just don't do it around me. Like the whole your rights. Extend to the end of your arm to where it contacts my nose. You can do whatever you want as long as it doesn't affect me.
Right.
Yeah. I think I messed that saying up, but you know what I mean?
But no, yeah, you're totally right. And that's the libertarian, like that you're offended that, wait, up until now?
The common misconception about me, and it could be because of my name or just because of what I say on the air, is that I'm a retard. Like, I'm an idiot. I'm like a knuckle-dragging mouth breather.
Who thinks that?
And I like to keep up to date on things and be informed. And just shit like that bothers me.
Do you think your new job, since the radio station is very involved in the news and current events and in politics, are you more involved now than you were before?
Slightly, just in different ways. I'm more politics and less civil social rights. Mm-hmm. Whereas before, I'm really into keeping track of people's rights. That's why I wrote Rage Against the Machine that letter, you know, when I got kicked out of high school. But no, I don't like seeing abuses of power. I just don't like seeing things that are wrong happening. And there was a video that's circulating right now. Have you seen the guy at Subway get tased?
No.
Guy's drunk. He wants to start a fight, and he gets pushed around, and finally the cops show up. And I swear to Christ, over eight of them show up. And the kid's like, oh my God, tons of cops. And the cop goes, get on the ground. 1-1000, 2-1000, bap, taser. Like, the guy doesn't even get a chance.
Yeah.
Now, do I agree in some point that I think it's funny to hear a redneck get tasered at a Subway?
Of course.
Yes. Did he have it coming? A little. Like, he kind of did, because he was starting fights with people.
He's probably being a douche.
He was a complete drunk douche. He was going to punch his buddy. He was like, get away, man. I'm going to hit you. You're making me mad. Like, he was that drunk. But tasers were meant as a non-lethal alternative to guns. Not, time to subdue you.
Like, they use tasers on old women.
Yeah, and old men.
Yeah.
One guy said he felt like, this was a couple months back, an old guy in his own home said that when, I forget why the police were called, or the paramedics were called, and he goes, oh, man. They asked him how he's feeling. He's like, I don't know. I feel like I could just go upstairs and die. He's an old man. Like, he's feeling like shit. They called the police because they took that, their protocol says that you have to take that as a suicide threat. So they had to call the police. The police wanted to bring him in to the hospital to be evaluated because he had made, you know, a suicidal threat. And the old man's like, no, I'm going to go upstairs and go to bed. I'm home. I live here.
Yeah.
I feel like crap. He wouldn't get up. There was a cop standing in the man's living room telling him to get up, and eventually tases him because he wouldn't get up.
So this guy, who they think is going to kill himself, so their remedy is to force him out of his own house.
Yes.
With force.
Yes, because that's how it's written. The ambulance drivers, the paramedics had to call the police because he made a suicidal comment.
Unbelievable.
And then it snowballed from there. And what's lacking in all of this, and I don't know who
common
you blame
sense.
It on. Yes, common sense. You put everything in black and white. It's like the zero tolerance things. These kids getting kicked out for having, you know, erasers shaped like guns.
Yeah.
It's shit like that. Now, I don't know if it's the conservatives, liberals, or all of them together who, I don't give a shit who's responsible for it, but seriously, you're going to ruin a kid's life because he forgot, he brought an eraser shaped like a gun. Kids have been suspended for doing this, making a gun with their finger and being like,
you know why?
People felt threatened.
It's small vocal groups that get exploited through the media. Like, the media loves this stuff because it gives them ratings, so they push these people. And it's just a small group of people
that
get so much power.
It drives me nuts. And I know that I'm going to have that fucking kid, because I was that kid that does something. And the thing is,
yeah, it's karma.
My parents, God bless them, they're different cloth for me. Like, I will raise holy hell. I will shout from the rooftops. I will paint the side of my house if I have to, if something like that happens. Because it's just horseshit. It's stupid to ruin. This kid's impressionable. He's like in first grade.
Yeah.
And that's what you want to make the rest of his.
Yeah.
They talk about how video games influence us. No, adults' actions influence children. And when you overreact like that, you're really setting someone up to just be angry and bitter their entire life. Because all that kid wants to do is go to school, and he thought he had a cool eraser, or he's just playing with his friends, making a toy gun.
Right.
You know, and or one kid's brought like his dad's or his grandfather's pocket knife that he had got him. He's proud. He had something to show off that his grandfather gave him. Use some fucking common sense. But we've legislated common sense out of everything because the rest of this nation is like Idiocracy, and they can't think for themselves.
Totally is. That movie's so exactly
you have
right.
to protect the dumb from themselves. That's why you have warning labels on hammers. Oh, really? This hammer could hurt my thumb if I smash it? Weird.
Wait, are you describing what happened to you growing up in school?
No, not completely. I mean,
well, you're so angry. No, I'm just kidding.
No, it really was, though. Like, really. Let's look at it in the whole. The gun never came out on school property. It was in my car. Nobody saw it. It could have been not there.
Yeah.
And it was a pellet gun. And I didn't shoot anybody with it. I didn't do anything. But what were they going to do? Expel me.
Expel you, yeah. Which is what you just described about.
Unbelievable, yeah.
Let's really?
Destroy your life over...
Yeah.
Over, now, that's not going to make you angry and want to go shoot somebody.
Yeah. Like, I'm just a regular kid. Why can't you say, hey, you made a mistake?
Yeah. Don't bring this to school again. What are you, stupid?
And the horseshit part of it all is that around that age, like, they're trying to treat you like adults, you know? Tough love. Right. And if 18, you can vote. And if you're a guy, you register for selective service. Oh, and you can finally buy cigarettes. You know, it goes driver's license, R-rated movies, those things I just described, and then you got to wait 3 more years to drink. You can get, if there was a draft, you can get drafted at 18, but you can't have a beer.
Yeah.
Like, fix it. Make it all 18, make it all 21, but fucking figure it out.
Right.
And don't let, and again, it's the lobbying groups. Well, drinking and driving, Mad's going to step in. They can't be 18. They'll kill themselves. They do it anyway. They are probably, yeah. You're not catching them.
They've actually showed that that the states that did have an 18-year-old age had less drinking and driving incidents from youths because they take it a little more responsibly because they're able to do it so they don't binge drink.
Yeah, because you're not doing it on the sly.
Yeah, yeah. And like the shininess, like luster of it, like wears off. Like it's legal for you, so you're like, eh.
Yeah, it's like when you turn 21. Yeah. Well, you like I was drinking prior, so my 21st birthday wasn't as crazy as it could have been.
Yeah,
and it's just the way it is, and it's so I don't know, puritarian. I don't know.
It's religious morals being pushed on us through the state.
My kid will probably grow up knowing alcohol. And, you know, I'll just do it that way and teach them the responsibility. Did I make some mistakes? Yeah. Did my parents do all the right things? Yes. My parents are great parents. I'm just a retard. I have to learn the hard way. And that's just the way I was wired until I figured things out and found out, well, it's easier to not learn that way. But, you know, it's just I don't need somebody else telling me how to raise my kids or how to live my life. And I feel like that's how a lot of these things go. I just want to get on the plane, really. That's what it all comes down to.
And go where?
I don't want somebody to x-ray my dick, and I don't want somebody to stick a finger up my butt when I'm trying to get on a plane.
It's not unreasonable.
And I'm only going to D.C.
Yeah.
You know, I'm going to see my parents. What kind of threat am I? But that's what's going to happen. You're right. It's not unreasonable.
Yeah.
And on that note, my rant went right to 8:30.
That was a rant. That was,
I don't
that
know. Was I got fun. Things to say, Begley, and I don't really have an outlet for it.
Yeah, you do right
so,
here.
So this is pretty much it. Thanks to John for letting us show up at Unregular Radio once a week, 7 to 10. Today's 7 to 9. Today's a little early because it's just me and Begley. And we said on the thing, we're like, two guys, it's just not worth it. Not discluding you, John, but... You know,
and I feel like you're all riled up right now.
I know. Now I'm all hot and angry. I don't know. It just pisses me off the people's hypocrisies, especially all the old people complaining about things now like video games. You know that California has gone to the Supreme Court with this video game ban law.
Yeah, yeah.
Now, how many times have we had this fight? We had it over comic books. Yep. We have it over rock and roll.
Marilyn Manson.
We had it over movies. Yeah, with the PMRC. Yeah. When is it going to end? Video games are just another extension of that media.
Yeah.
And yet they're still fighting it. And fucking Schwarzenegger, I hate him for it. I love Predator, but man, the fact that dickhead made Predator, starred in Predator, and then starts this thing, Schwarzenegger against the Video Game Association, about violence. He's worried about violence affecting children. If anything, he should be worried about it affecting me, adults, because I grew up on his shit.
Right. Yeah, I know. He should pull his own movies off the market.
Exactly.
Then.
Oh, but no, they're rated.
Yeah.
Yeah, so are video games. The industry, just like movies, rates video games.
How about personal responsibility and watch what your kid has?
Well, that's the biggest problem. There is no accountability anymore. People don't want to take responsibility for shit.
Yeah.
They don't want to admit that their kids are shitty and loud and obnoxious when they're being interrupted. And what I do, all right, I'm seriously wrapping this up. I call on all of you with common sense. Everybody in this room, everybody who can hear my voice, the tens of you that listen, call people out on their bullshit. When somebody goes in the outdoor, tell them they went in the outdoor. When somebody has 12 items and the 10 items or less, point it out to them. Let them know we have social norms and people break them all the time. And because we let those little things go, it's why these idiots keep breeding.
It turns into chaos.
Yeah, because there's no shame. Nobody feels shame anymore. When their little shit is running around pulling sugar packets out of stuff and screaming at a restaurant, say something to those people. Say you are ruining the experience for everyone else in this thing. And they'll be like, well, don't disrespect me. I'll be like, you're disrespecting all these people. Get your head out of your ass. You are not unique. You are not important. You're no more important than the rest of us, and we outnumber you. So either get your shit together or get your inbred little fucking crotch fruit out of here so I can enjoy my Applebee's in silence.
I like that one.
It's hilarious because we had a show replaying earlier that Doug was on, and he said, you know what this show is? He says, it's you yelling and getting angry and turning red.
That's exactly what it is.
It really is, isn't it? I can feel how red I am, too.
Oh, yeah.
All right, everybody. We'll see you next week, 7 to 9. Hopefully some other guys will show up as well. But thank you for your support in whichever way you
want. Yeah, I'll be here next week.
Unregularradio.com, obviously, is the website. And listen on Saturday to TKK for me and Matt and Sunday on FNX to Begley.
Yeah.
You like that? I gave you a plug.
Thanks.
What time are you on?
Thanks, buddy. This Sunday, I don't even know.
Saturday, I'm 8 to 10 a.m.
So tune in around 2 o'clock. It'll either be the end of my show or the beginning of my show.
Thanks, John.